financing home purchases, we'll cut your payments virtually in half with our new interest-only loan.
Let me guess, refi now, pay later, right?
No, save now, call now at 239-598-1881 and listen to the Breeze Mortgage Program every Saturday at noon.
I'll call Breeze Mortgage, a great loan for my great home.
No prescription drug coverage? Now there's help. Introducing the Merck Prescription Discount Program. You may be eligible for discounts of 15 to 40% on Merck drugs, regardless of age or income. Call 1-800-50-MERCK to enroll. It's free to join, and there are no membership costs. The new Merck Prescription Discount Program. It's one more way Merck puts patients first. Call 1-800-50-MERCK.
The following is a paid commercial announcement. The views and opinions expressed and the advice offered by the host are not necessarily those of Wink WNOG, Fort Myers Broadcasting, Meridian Broadcasting, or any of their affiliate sponsors or assigns.
Afternoon, Guy James. I guess it's good evening. It is 7 o'clock at night. Actually, night. Here we are. It's broad daylight outside, so I still feel it's afternoon. Love this time of year when it stays light for so long. I do love that. I want to say hello to all of our friends out there listening today, whether you are with us or against us on our views here in this program. We'd love having all of you along. We'd love hearing all of your views. I do want to say hello to some special people, the folks down at Bentley Village, the Turtles Club down there. Always glad to know they're listening, and I know they are. Our good friends on the Democratic Underground, Ben Birch at the White Rose Society, recording the program for the archives right now. SmirkingChimp.com, Democrats.com, our good friend Bob Furtick over there. Glad to have all of you with us. And I do want to say a special hello to some special friends up in Ohio. They know who they are, in a beautiful little town of Upper Sandusky, Ohio. Was up in my home state not too long ago, up in Cleveland. Had a great time up there. It was really nice in Cleveland, as it always is. But I do want to say hello to everybody listening tonight, and coming to you from the Blue Waters and sandy beaches, a beautiful Fort Myers and Naples area, Florida. Got a lot to talk about tonight. We're going to have a great guest coming up in a little while. We're going to have Jeff Morley, staff writer for the Washington Post, going to talk about this explosive British memo. Actually, it's minutes of a meeting. I don't know why they keep calling it a memo, because it is minutes of a meeting. We want to talk about what's going on in Ohio. Oh, God. Have they got a dirty, crummy political mess? Has the Republican cesspool in Ohio is overflowing? We're going to talk about that tonight. How about that little fit Mr. Republican Sensenbrenner threw the other day at the committee meeting? Oh, is he act like a child or what? John Conyers, my goodness, rounding up 500,000 signatures. Going to walk that down to the White House. Oh, the rats are bailing off the ship up in Ohio. They're starting to give some of that dirty money that Noe fellow gave to everybody. I see Schwarzenegger give $10,000 of it back, and I think even the Bush people are giving some of it back. And well, wonders never cease. We got Mel Martinez. I'm told this secondhand. I haven't actually heard it myself. It knocks my socks off. Mel Martinez wants to shut down Gitmo. I don't know. If you know anything different than that, be sure and let me know. And Catherine Harris, our beloved, beautiful former Secretary of State, queen of the makeup counter. She even beats, what was her name? what was that woman's name? Baker, Tammy Baker. I believe Catherine Harris can pile on more makeup than Tammy Baker. And believe me, that's a tough chore. But she's going to run for Senate against Bill Nelson here in Florida. That should be interesting. You know, the Republican Party didn't want her to run for Senate during the last term because, well, they were afraid there would be too much negative reaction and it would pull away from Bush's votes here in Florida, so they kept her at bay. But she's going to run now. I don't think there was any doubt that she was going to. We're going to talk about all of that tonight. And I think, of course, when we have our guests, we're going to talk a lot about the British memo. But I think leading off the news this week, at least for my money, is all these stories about Howard Dean. And you know what I'm talking about. I'm growing a little tired of Democrats like Joe, Mr. I Love Me Biden, and Joe Lieberman trying to tell Howard Dean how to function as the chairman of the DNC. Biden, in many cases, is not a real Democrat, and we all know Joe Lieberman is just another Zell Miller in a more friendly package. That's all there is to it. He smiles more than Zell, but he's every bit the Democrat that Zell Miller is. You know, neither of these guys have any business at all trying to tell Chairman Dean how to act. Neither one of them has the interest of the party in mind. They care about themselves and nothing else. Of course, in the United States Senate, what else is new? But they're true Washington politicians, so what else should we expect? The rank and file of the Democratic Party mean absolutely nothing to guys like Biden and Lieberman. I have firsthand experience with these gentlemen. They're about as sincere as, well, I don't know what. they've got this uppity view of how we shouldn't say anything bad about this gang of thieves and liars running the show in Washington. We should be nice to Bush and his people, for after all, they've been so nice to us. Oh, yes, they have. They've been honest and forthright with the American people. They've been very cooperative with the Democrats in the House and the Senate, extending every courtesy to the Democrats. You can plainly see that Tom DeLay and Bill Frist have acted in a totally bipartisan manner and for the good of the nation and treated the Democrats very nicely. Not in every case. I know some of you disagree with me on this point, but I've always been of a mind to fight fire with fire. That's just me, and it's painfully obvious that we cannot work with this Bush administration in any cooperative fashion whatsoever. They want it 100% their way or else, and they've not deviated from that stance, not one iota since they came into office. They've shown no inclination to compromise on anything. So it becomes our patriotic duty to drive them out of office no matter what it takes. And if Howard Dean has to go out and be totally honest and call them out as the liars and thieves they are, then so be it. Howard Dean is nothing if not honest. These so-called Republicans have been terrible for America. They've steamrolled over any opposition and they gloat about it at every opportunity. So if Howard Dean has to get tough with his rhetoric towards a guy like Tom DeLay, who's he going to offend that really matters talking about Tom DeLay? His own people hate him, but they back him nonetheless. But the people who back DeLay will never admit that he's a crook, so why worry about them? Don't worry about what they think. It's Dean's duty to inform the public about crooks like Tom DeLay. It's his duty to inform the American people as to the corruption and lies within the Bush administration. It's his duty to be honest with the American people. And if some Democrats who think it's better to play nice with the Bush people, then that's just too damn bad. You know, by surfing around the internet on any given day, you'll find that the real grassroots of the Democratic Party fully support Howard Dean. It's time we had a guy in charge who calls a spade a spade. It's time we had someone in that office who will stand up and challenge these neocons on their ideas. It's time we had a man who, as DNC chairman, has the best interest of the people in mind instead of the fat cat big contributors who want to buy influence in the party instead of earn it. You know, Harry Truman said, I didn't give anybody hell. I just told the truth and they thought it was hell. And that's exactly what Howard Dean is a Harry Truman type of guy. My kind of guy. I get criticized every single week by people in my own party for being tough on the Bush administration. Play nice now. Say nice things. Don't say, if you can't say anything nice about them, don't say anything at all. You know, I've had many Democrats in my own local listening area right here say that they will not support this show because I'm too, quote, rough on the Republicans. Now I ask you, what should I do? Should I kowtow to these local so-called Democratic Party leaders and soften my approach to the Bush administration? Or should I be totally honest with my listeners and tell them exactly how I feel? To me, doing anything differently would be dishonest, and I won't do that to my listeners because you would know it. You would know it if I wasn't being honest with you. So if you tune into this show and expect me to say, gee, Mr. Bush is our president, so I have to respect him in what he does. If you expect to hear that, then you just grab the dial right now or the buttons or whatever kind of radio you got and turn it to another station because I'm not your boy and I never will be. I despise this administration and nearly everything they stand for. I have nothing good to say about them. They have not earned my trust. Quite the contrary, the longer they're in office, the more brazen liars they become. I've had a caller, a nice guy, a good caller, phone into the show a couple of times lately asking me, don't I have anything good to say about Junior Bush? The plain answer is no, hell no. This administration has done nothing of substance and that's benefited this nation. Nothing. Our security has been damaged. Our trade and budget deficits are in shambles. But they say, well, don't worry about the deficits. They no longer matter, you know. When a Republican runs a nice big deficit, it doesn't matter. Only when the Democrats are in power. You know, our foreign relations practically don't exist anymore, and they march to the tune of nutcases like Falwell and Robertson. Something good to say about Bush? No. I could write a book about the damage he's done to America, but I couldn't write a single sentence telling the good he has done, and neither can you. So should Howard Dean back off? Absolutely not. Howard, stay with it. If some of you want to play nicey-nice with the Bush cabal, then you go ahead. But if you do, expect to have a Bush knife in your back when it's all over, because that's what they do to the people. If you suffer from the terrible misconception that Bush and his people care one whit about you and your family, about family values, blah, 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 care one bit about America, about anything but their own huge bank accounts and the power that goes along with that, then you're a fool. I'm sorry if you fit into that category, but that's the plain truth. A couple of times I've told Howard Dean to his face to lower the boom on these people and not let up, and I encourage him to keep it up. In fact, if he wants to ratchet up the rhetoric a bit, it's okay with me. As for you who want to play nice with them, get over it. You're just going to have to get over it. Howard Dean's a man of the people. He's a man the people down at the grassroots respect. They have respect for him. He's doing a good job. He's raising money. He's ahead of the pace that Terry McAuliffe was at this same time in his term. So I think everything's fine with Howard Dean. And I say to the two-bit politicians like Joe Biden and Joe Lieberman, lay off Howard Dean. Lay off Howard Dean, or you will hear about it from the people at the grassroots. And I'm telling you, Joe Biden, and I'm telling you, Joe Lieberman, and I'm telling the leadership of the Democratic Party, pay attention to the people at the grassroots, because we're taking this party back. We're taking it away from you and your misguided ideas. You wouldn't believe some of the stuff Joe Biden has told me personally. Look me in the eye. I won't get into it right now, but you wouldn't believe it. Let's go to the phone right now, and let's talk to Diane in North Fort Myers. Hi, Diane.
Hi. If you're rough, I don't know what to tell people, because if the truth hurts, that's what my mother always said.
Yeah.
And isn't that the truth?
You bet.
But I mean, to tell you, I called Bill Nelson's office this past week, though. I asked him to please don't run, because I would like to have a real Democrat. Because I said, we know what we're getting in Catherine Harris. But with him, I've seen him voting too many times Republican. He's a Joe Lieberman Republican. So I'm not going to be able to support a guy. I'm sorry.
It's a tough spot to be in.
I'm sick of fake Democrats.
Yeah, me too. I am.
You know, and I don't want him running. That's why I told him, you know, and I also called out in California there a certain TV station about you to see if we can't get you on their air. You know what I'm talking about, free speech TV.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I said it'd be like the Zogby. I said, this is what America's wanting. They want interaction. They want honesty. They want free speech. You know, and they're so afraid of you because, you know, they can't stand competition. That is the thing, because they haven't got a leg to go on. All these other shows are like a loop running. You know, and it's like they get their memo through the fax machine, and they read it verbatim. And you stand up, and you are different. You tell the truth, and you're not owned by corporations, and that is why we love you.
Well, you can say that again. We're not owned by anybody.
You got a dollar out of me this week, and I'll tell you, to get a dollar out of me is rough. So you are someone special in my life.
Diane, I do want to thank you. I opened up the envelope with your donation into it personally, and I thank you for all your kind comments, and I thank you for your input to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you very, very much. Much appreciated. Let's go to Alice in Northern California. Hi, Alice.
Hi, Ty. I've been around a long time.
Do you care to tell us how long you've been around again, Alice?
A terrible group, as we have now in our White House. Cheers for you and for Howard Dean for calling it like it is.
Well, Alice, I appreciate that. I do. I admire Howard Dean a great deal. He's a man that's showing true courage. And I know, and you know, too, not everybody agrees with us.
No.
But I want a man to get out there and tell the truth. If he's a little brutal with it at times, so be it.
Okay.
Thanks so much for your call, Alice.
Yeah, well,
nice
keep
to
up the good work.
Well, thank you so much. Nice to hear from you. Going from one nice lady to another. Going to talk to Juanita up in Winter Haven, Florida. Hello, Juanita.
Hello,
how are you this
there.
Evening?
Here, here, here. Cheer, cheer, cheer.
Thank you.
You know, I've been up and down this week about the Dean thing, and I've been so mad and so sad and everything else at some of these Democrats. But it came to me one day that it reminds me of when Kennedy was running for the president.
Oh, yeah.
There was a lot of Democratic politicians did not want to be in the same room with him and did not acknowledge him if they were. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
And then at that time, most of our Southern Democrats were equal to the lots and so forth of today. Now, I'm reading now, it was the Catholic situation. I have family members who switched to Republican just to vote against that. He also has some very liberal ideals. And, of course, the civil rights came later. My dad could not believe it, for Roosevelt had really saved their lives. All my folks on both sides were Georgia farmers. Most lost their farms, and that is how many came to Florida to look for work. It just came to me how the Democrats did Kennedy. It was truly terrible, and I compare it to how they are now treating Dean. This is also terrible, but you know it's good that things like that to come out in the open. I'm so tired of these Democrats not looking out for we, the people. Through the years, many have changed over to being Republicans, but we know that here in Florida, many so-called Democrats are closet Republicans. And you know, Jesus was also not popular at all with the leaders of his day. And I'm just, thank you for speaking up. And I'm like Diane said about the dollar, I have been trying to send you some money, and I'm going to send you a dollar or two one of these days.
Well, thank you, Anita.
I'm like her, you know,
in
money-wise, but I will when I can.
Thank you so much.
I don't want to, but I hope that you do get a national show, because I wish they had you on Air America.
Well, thank you for that, Anita. I appreciate your input.
But anyway, I'm just so proud of you.
Thank you.
And I'm so thankful for you.
Shucks.
Aw, shucks.
Thanks for calling, Anita.
Okay. Bye-bye.
You know, when you stop and think about it, about this Howard Dean situation, as long as we're talking about it here for a minute, we got the religious bunko artists like James Dobson and Falwell and Robertson preaching hate from the pulpit to further their political agendas. We've got 1,697, I believe the number is, permanently dead soldiers, along with a few thousand maimed for life. We've got the British memo, actually minutes of a secret meeting, and we're going to talk about that in just a little while, telling about the intentions of Bush and Blair, their actual intentions to go to war long before they told the public their intentions. Actually, it proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that Bush and all of his people were lying through their teeth about that run-up to war. We've got a Republican Party up to their necks in scandal, lies, and deceit. And what do we hear? We've got the party of Lee Atwater. We've got the dirtiest politician in history. We've got the party of Richard Nixon and the plumbers and a dozen so of his cronies who went to prison over their lies and crimes. But that mean old Howard Dean is saying bad things about us. Oh, woe is me. That big bad Howard Dean is being mean to us Republicans. Oh, no. That's what you're hearing all week. You know, the Republican smear machine ran the Willie Horton ads. You remember those? Against Michael Dukakis and his wife, said his wife was nuts. Do you remember that? They accused one of their own, John McCain, of fathering illegitimate black babies in South Carolina where they knew that wouldn't play well. And let's not forget Iran-Contra involving St. Ronald of Reagan and George Bush. They illegally removed thousands of voters from the Florida voter rolls and still haven't put them back. All of this. And they get indignant because Howard Dean tells the truth about them? Give me a break. You know, the only place I differ with Howard Dean on all of this is I'll put the phrase in there, with some exceptions. With some exceptions, of course, they are the party of liars, cheats, and scoundrels. Tom DeLay, don't even get me started. Newt Gingrich, he's a scoundrel of the highest order. You know, this phony outrage is nothing but a diversion to keep the press away from the real stories plaguing this corrupt administration. It's a shell game. Don't look at the lies about this war. Don't look at the editing of environmental papers by the White House. Don't look at the soldiers dying. Don't look at the mountain of corruption piling up in this administration. Look at that mean old Howard Dean. It's enough to make you want to throw up. My God. Are you falling for that? Are any of you listening to this righteous, phony indignation by the Republicans? Are any of my Democratic friends listening to that and going, well, Howard, you better back off a little bit, Howard. You're a little rough on them, Howard. I've heard that from some of my Democratic friends. No. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504, 479-5550 here in Lee County, 263-6570 in Collier County. And as long as we're talking about political cesspools and scoundrels, let's get a report from Toledo, Ohio, where the Noe situation is just bubbling over with that righteous, very clean administration of Governor Taft up in Florida. Let's go to Bill in Toledo. I bet you got a story for us, Bill.
Well, good evening, Guy. How are you tonight?
I'm great. I really am.
Listen, I love the talk that I just heard of the Democrats want to listen to the GOP and talk about Howard Dean. It's got me just about going crazy. I'm listening to some other talk shows, and they're saying, well, Dean's going to have to calm down, and Dean really isn't talking for... But that's not really what I called you for, and I'm thinking you know what I called you about.
I think I do.
Listen, Guy, Tom Noe here in Toledo, you know, we was talking last week that there was between $10 and $13 million, listen, missing out of the Workman's Compensation Fund here in Toledo.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that small chump change, Chicago Tribune, Tim Jones, he called Tom Noe GOP lawn sprinkler. Well, if Tom Noe is the GOP lawn sprinkler, then this, I believe it's MDT Capital Management, has been working for the state of Ohio, has lost in just 2 months' time $215 million is now lost out of that fund. And when fund in Illinois, they were getting out of this capital management fund because they found out how rotten they were. At the same time they were getting out, Ohio was jumping in with both feet. And you talk about spreading money around. Let's say Blackwell. Blackwell now is going to have to give back $67,000 that he got from this capital management. $67,000. Now, he only got a small about amount of money from Tom Noe. All he got was $3,000 from him. But he's going to give it back. And, Guy, do you know who how he's going to give it back?
No. How?
He said he's going to give it back to a charity.
I see.
That supports a, got it written down here, that supports a, whatchamacallit of life.
Well, anyway, he's going to give it to a charity.
Yeah, he's going to be, but it's going to be one that supports the quality of life. That one that Bush was using when they was, when that lady was dying in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I wanted to tell you about this.
Yeah, we got about 30 seconds, Bill.
Okay, he lost this money, and he lost $203,000 in just before he got the whatchamacallit from the state of Ohio. He filed a court case where he lost $203,000. And coins out of the backseat of his car. And just a month and a half before that, he took out a policy with an insurance company to cover coins if they would get stolen.
Oh.
And just a month and a half after that,
wow,
he takes and he gets $203,000 worth of coins.
Amazing. Got to run, Bill. We got a hard break coming up. Thank you for that information. Keep us posted, will you?
Oh, I sure will. Listen, and become a bronze member with you there, guy.
Thank you very much, Bill. Yeah, that Blackwell and his friends up there, they've stolen everything but the State House office furniture in Ohio. Oh, boy. That doesn't get any better than that. Hey, you're listening to the Guy James Show, and we're going to be back right after a few words with our guest. Don't you go anywhere.
A Democrat and proud of it, Guy James.
West Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. Wink WNOG.
Suppose you run your business and let me run mine.
Bubba's family knew everything there was to know about the shrimp and bin.
First, I have a little official business to attend to.
Big business or little business, everybody likes to be recognized. Hi, I'm Dave Elliott from Daybreak Southwest Florida, and every morning we like to recognize a business person of the day. They'll receive a beautiful flower arrangement from Ruth Mesmer Florist or Jean's Fifth Avenue Florist delivered right to them. Nominate your favorite business person of the day by sending us a fax at 332-0767, and then be ready to congratulate the business person of the day.
Meet Chris. He directs new technology training at Sound Advice. He's our go-to guy. Chris, why buy a high-def flat panel TV from Sound Advice?
Well, we really know high-def TV. Can you tell true high-definition TV when you see it? We can. See, there's enhanced definition TV, and then there's true high-def, which gives you almost 50% more detail. It's the real thing. Problem was the cost of true high-def. Until now. Enter the Panasonic 42-inch high-def plasma TV. Now, you can have true high-def for just a little more. And the Panasonic has a built-in high-def tuner They can receive high-definition programming right out of the box.
Now you know why he's our go-to guy. And that's not the only reason to come to Sound Advice this week. Now you can save up to $3,000 off select plasma, LCD, and widescreen TVs from Panasonic, Samsung, Sony, and Pioneer. No money down and no interest until September 2006. The newest TVs, the price break you've been waiting for, and the best-trained people. Sound Advice, your home entertainment experts.
There's a hurricane. Getting accurate information fast can mean the difference between life and death. Last year, Southwest Florida depended on the Wink News team for full, up-to-the-minute hurricane information. From the first call,
moving towards the Southwest Florida coastline,
throughout the storm until the danger was past. This hurricane season, depend on the Wink News team to keep you on top of alerts, evacuation orders, and the information you need to protect your family. Trust Wink News. Southwest Florida's Hurricane Central.
Wake up to a new morning with Wink News. Patrick Gomer and Stacey Adams get you going with breaking news, weather, and exclusive Sky Eye traffic. Waking up is hard to do. Wink News makes it easier with your first forecast, your first look at the roads, and breaking news from around the corner and around the world. Wink News this morning, weekdays from 5 to 8, only on Wink News, Southwest Florida's news leader.
Brown & Hawk Financial Group is a full-service brokerage and investment advisory firm with a wealth of Wall Street resources. At Brown & Hawk, financial goals are their primary concern. Richard Brown, president of Brown & Hawk Financial Group, is presently offering the free financial physical. The free financial physical will cover the needs, wants, and objectives of your financial future. Mr. Brown will go over your current investments, explaining the ratings of your current stocks and mutual funds, reviewing your annuities and bonds, and making recommendations on your portfolio. For an appointment, call 415-4650. That's 415-4650. And ask for Richard Brown to have your free financial physical. Call 415-4650 today. Don't forget to listen to All About Money and Investing, hosted by Richard Brown, president of Brown & Hawk Financial Group, every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on 1240 and 1270 Wink WNOG.
Top three reasons I'll be doing some serious planting this weekend. Number three, I like beautiful things. Flowers, plants, my husband when he does the dishes. Number two, gardening lets me express myself. And the number one reason, prices have just been pruned.
Don't miss Garden Value Days at the Home Depot. Now through June 15th, get 10% off any plants, shrubs, and flowers. Plus, the know-how is free. Only at the Home Depot. See store for details.
News Talk 1240 and 1270. Wink. WNOG.
You've heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
sirree, coming to you from the Guy James Hit Parade. There you go, number one. I'm a wartime president. You know he loves to say that, doesn't he? Have you noticed the wonderful smile that comes across his face and the look of total satisfaction? I'm a wartime president. I've seen him say it many, many times, and I know you have as well. I'm a wartime president. I'm Georgie Bush. I'm a rough and tough cowboy because I'm a wartime president and you're not. Oh, yeah. Tough guy. Tough guy, as long as it's somebody else he's sending out to die, right? Well, we're having a little bit of trouble getting hold of our guest. I hate that, and I apologize to you. At 7:35, we were going to have Jeff Morley on from the Washington Post. We're trying to correct that little snafu. Nothing wrong at the station here. There's something on his end, so we'll... I should give out his phone number and you guys could all call him, huh? I don't think he'd appreciate that very much, but we hope to get Jeff on here in just a little bit, okay? So hang with us here and we'll talk about that memo. Before I get back to the phones, and by the way, you can call us at 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504, toll free on our nickel, all right? Okay. I just want to read. I want to read you something here by Jesse, the editor over TV News and Lies organization, TV News Lies org. I thought this was very appropriate right here. And this just take me a moment to read this to you, but pay attention to this. And it has to do with this memo and everything we want to talk about today. George W. Bush, during his press conference with Tony Blair on the June the 7th, said Saddam would not comply. Comply to what? We're never told. But apparently whatever he did not comply to was important enough to start a war over, but not important enough to ever explain to the rest of the world. After a single question about the Downing Street memo with no follow-up, with a single question was asked, in between the questions about Africa, you know the American media suddenly is enamored with Africa, and Bush and Blair once again repeated their rhetoric about how they went to war with Iraq only after Saddam Hussein refused to comply. Comply with what? Why, after 2 years, hasn't a single reporter asked the most obvious question of the entire crime, that is the invasion of Iraq? What did Saddam refuse? Are they referring to the U.S.-imposed Catch-22 demand that he disarm Iraq of the WMDs that Iraq did not have? What did we go to war for? Saddam permitted intrusive inspections with no time limit. You remember that? What did he refuse? We're told time and time again that the choice was Saddam's, and we invaded because he refused to comply. And to this date, we've never been told what that means. Even the more outrageous is that there is not a single member of the American corporate news media that even asked this question. Is every reporter who's had access to Bush and Blair so stupid as not to realize that the question has not only never been answered, it has never been asked? Can you have any better indication that the media are complicit in the illegal war crime that is the invasion of Iraq? Somebody please explain this to me. That's from Jesse, editor of TVNewsLies.org. Right on the money. Right on the money. Let's go to Dave in California. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Guy. I think we've been very fortunate in this country to have had some rich presidents who were good people who cared about the average person, the poor people. Certainly that was true with Jimmy Carter, JFK, FDR, and Teddy Roosevelt. They all were rich people, but what we've got now is a special class of very wealthy, very greedy goons who could care less about the people. So I very much appreciate Howard Dean calling it like it is, and I hope you can give him a few pointers on how he can even hit it a little harder. But
oh, I'd be happy to.
Yes. I had a couple of other thoughts. Tony Blair strikes me as intelligent, and he does some good stuff. He is, in some ways, a decent man. What in the hell did Bush do to induce him to jump in bed with him?
That's why, you know, you've asked a $64,000 question. I mean, look here. It's obvious that Tony Blair really cares about the plight of the poor African nations. It's obvious that Tony Blair is an environmentalist, and yet that's diametrically opposed to Bush's position on both of those.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't understand.
It is something. I'm yet thinking he may yet. I was thinking it might even happen in that press conference, if God would say, I no longer want to be a party to your thing. But I was going to ask you two presidential trivia things that you might appreciate.
Yeah.
Who were the last two presidents to leave the White House as non-millionaires?
Ooh, well, as non-million to leave the White House. Well, Bill Clinton would have to be one, wouldn't he?
Bill Clinton, and the last one before him was Ulysses Grant.
Oh, wow. That's pretty impressive.
What president's mother was so unhappy with her son's policies that she refused to attend either of his inaugurations?
Ooh. You know, I don't know the answer to that.
It was George Washington. His mother was a loyal to the crown.
Oh, and, you know, speaking of presidential trivia, it is a fact that Harry Truman's mother-in-law didn't think that her beloved daughter was... Well, she thought she was way undermarried with Harry Truman. She didn't appreciate Harry at all.
He turned out to be a surprise to a lot of people.
I think so. Dave, thanks for your call.
Thank you so much for being there, brother.
Good to hear from you. Let's go to Michael in Cape Coral. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Guy.
Glad you're with us this evening.
Don't give up the fight, Guy. I think the term is give them hell, Harry, right?
That's right. Yes. That's right.
And if these wimpy Democrats don't want to listen to what you're having to say, then time to go to the Bull Moose party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The good old Bull Moose. Oh, yeah. The Bull Moose party.
Yeah.
It's been a while, hasn't it?
Yes.
Well,
I think we need to dust off the Nuremberg files also. Time to dust them off.
Yeah. I think so, too. I agree with you on that. I do.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, Michael, it's getting out of hand. It's just getting out of hand. Just when you think you've heard it all, then something new pops up, and it's just piling up so deep. You know, we need a modern-day Woodward and Bernstein.
Absolutely.
Somebody that'll go after these people, and we need our Democrats, a lot of them, to grow some spine as well. We'd really love to see that.
You bet.
Michael, thanks for your call.
All right, you take care, guy. Don't give up the fight, buddy.
Never.
All right, thanks.
Never.
All right.
That is unless we run out of funds. You know, I do want to remind everybody that this is a listener-supported program. It is. And you folks have been generous to this program over the years. That's what keeps us on the air. I want you to know that. And I would like to mention a couple of recent contributors, Richard Lent, Luciano Ursetti, Alice Knowlton, David Goggins, I believe we just spoke to Dave, Wendy Montgomery, Juan Puerto, Sarah Kay, Bill Blanton, Mark Ball, Dr. Irvin Winsboro, Marcia Johns, that's Marcia Johns actually, William Sherrill, Joanne Leitner, Steve Brodkin, Mike DeAngelis, Chris Kern, John Roberts, Carolyn Batendushki, Mark Mahevic. We got people from all over the country on that list. I mean, I'm talking Massachusetts and Eureka, California, New Mexico, Georgia, Oregon, Syracuse, New York, good old Toledo, Ohio, San Jose, California, Hudson, Florida, Tarzana, California, all over the place. And we're very, very glad to have you along with us. Very, very glad to have you along with us. And we appreciate your contributions to the program. As long as I'm talking on that subject, I want to mention to you that, as I mentioned about a couple of weeks ago, that we are in the process of raising money to keep this show going. We have to pay for airtime. We have to pay for streaming. We have to pay for the long-distance phone bill and all that sort of thing. And to keep this show on the air requires a lot of money. And we hope that you will help us do that. We are way behind in this media war against the right wing. I don't have to tell you that. Way behind. The Republicans spend hundreds of millions of dollars a year. And so we ask that you help support this program and other programs like it. Well, we like to think there's no program like it, but help your fellow Democratic broadcasters whenever and however you can. And, of course, you can go to www.theguyjamesshow.com and hit the old PayPal button there, or 12870 Tradeway 4, number 108. That's 12870 Tradeway 4, number 108, Bonita Springs, Florida, 34135. 479-5540 here in Lee County, 266-3-6570 in Collier County, and 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. Still waiting to hear from our guest. hope we do. Jeff Morley, we had a half hour already, an interview ready to go with him. And I do want to remind everybody that we've got some Republican love tonight. I know you love that. And we've got some especially... Oh, I got one this afternoon. I got an email this afternoon that was so vile, so ugly, that I can't even read hardly any of the words to my listeners tonight. Whoever wrote that one this afternoon, you really outdid yourself. About, I don't know, about 3 o'clock it came in, somewhere around there. You really outdid yourself, and I would hope you'd seek some help. because you really need it. You really, really need some help if you're going to send emails out like that. I encourage you to seek some help. We are going to be talking about this memo this evening one way or another, and I think I got somebody on the phone right now that wants to talk about it. Let's talk to Jason in Cape Coral. Hi, Jason. Is Jason with us? Coming up. Oh, hi, Jason.
Hello.
Howdy.
Guy, I had a couple of questions and a couple of comments for you. Last week you had a person on your show who didn't know where to get the Downing Street memo from. And you're right, they are minutes from the meeting. It's on michaelmoore.com. It's up there. Senator John Conyers wrote President Bush a letter about this. You can find that here. I have a copy of it. President Bush, I called you once a long time ago, and I told you then I don't understand who would vote for him. I don't know anyone that likes him, except for this monotonous thing you hear on the radio all the time. I don't understand it. I believe you're right. He's never done anything good. Never seen him do anything good. He lied to us about the war. He's still lying to us. Michael Moore's website for me is great because they gather all the news together. I think May was one of the deadliest months in Iraq, period.
Oh, yeah.
And he said things are going great. Oh, it's beautiful over
yeah.
there. It's just the whole thing's a mess. The only thing I can hope for is that something will happen that will help us prove that this guy's a moron. I don't know what else to do. I don't want to be sound like a conspiracy theory nut, but I don't see how half the United States voted for this person. I don't see it. I could be wrong. I didn't want to get rid of the paper trail, but that wasn't my decision.
Oh, yeah, I agree. It's almost unthinkable that half the people in this country voted for him. It really is. I stop and think about that figure, and it just blows my mind.
So with me, the economy, I wanted to ask you about, too. I read a lot about the economy. I study some of it. And I don't see how this economy is really being that prosperous. But I do see this economy has done since September 11th. People have taken every ounce of money out of their homes that they can, refied them, got every kind of new car, everything that they want, but there's no real sustainable growth in this economy. I don't see it. Dow was up, it's supposed to be 15,000. It's still around 10. The NASDAQ went from 5,000 in the tech stock bubble, 2,000, hasn't broke 2,500 in a long time. And the housing bubble's about to burst. And when that happens, the economy is just going to, that's it. It's going to be wiped out, in my opinion.
Well, I agree with you. I think a lot of people, like you say, that the refi deal, if and when, and a lot of people got those ARM, those adjustable mortgages.
Oh, yeah.
And if the interest rate starts going sky high, there's going to be foreclosures like never happened in this country.
Oh, absolutely. And the silly thing, and it's not silly, the other thing I always read about and look up every day is the amount that the dollar's worth to overseas foreign currencies, pardon me. The euro, in year 2000, it would cost us 87 cents to buy 1 euro. Yesterday it was $1.21. So that is, about 40% of the dollar is lost. Same with the British pound, the yen, all the other world currencies. That's why gold went from 270 to 420, hasn't come down to 400 in a long time. That, to me, explains a lot. when you see that the United States dollar lost half its value around the world, you know why gas is double, you know why gold is double, you know why a lot of these imported goods are what they are.
Well, the dollar is tanked, and, you know, going back to what you said about the market, look at where the Dow is now and look at where it was when he came into office. It's barely budged. And he's been good for the economy, he wants to tell us. And we got the budget deficit and the trade deficit. He's been good for nothing economically in this country. Nothing.
No, except for getting himself rich. Like you said, that's what I believe. I think it's all set up. I think they're having a great time. I don't really think that he even pulls his strings. The guy's as dumb as a fence post. I don't know, guy. But I'm on his side. You know, hopefully the winds of change will blow in our direction.
Well, I certainly hope you're right, Jason, and I thank you for your call.
Have a good night, guy.
I'm disappointed. I've got to tell you, I'm disappointed right now that some of our Republican friends haven't called in about the John Kerry signing over his records this week and how Bush's grades in college were just about as good as John Kerry's. And, you know, I've heard it all over the right-wingers' the radio shows saying, hey, gee whiz, you know, Kerry waited till the election was over, and then he shot out to put his grades out for everybody to hear. And then we find out why, my goodness, the grades are just about as good as John Kerry's. Now, if you go along with that, I do hope you'll call me. I'd like to discuss it with you. I really would. And I just got a couple of little things here. Let me play some for you. Hey, Biz, are we on out there? Okay. I want to play a couple of little things for you here. And if you, you've all heard John Kerry speak, and you've all heard George Bush speak. How about this?
There's all kinds of estimates about the cost of war.
Well, I don't know where that went.
There was wars on other continents, but we were safe.
I don't know.
You're free, and freedom is beautiful. And, you know, it'll take time to restore chaos and order, but we will.
That's the President of the United States. It'll take time to restore chaos. So, I wish you would call if you want to discuss the fact that if you really think George W. Bush is intellectually in the same ballpark with John Kerry. I would argue that George W. Bush isn't intellectually equal to, well, I won't go there. You know how I feel. You know how a lot of you feel. I've always liked to compare him to Elmer Fudd, but I just don't know. I don't know. He's always up crowing. He reminds me of the old Chicken Hawk in the old cartoon, you know, hey boy, but not real smart. He does a lot of crowing, but doesn't get a whole lot said. Do want to remind you once again, we're going to have some Republican love tonight, and it promises to be very, very good. What do you think about this memo? Do you think that it completely blows the lid off the whole deal? I do. I've got it right here in front of me. And another place you can go look at it, I have the entire Downing Street memo. And by the way, it's not a memo. It are minutes of the meeting. Defense Secretary, Foreign Secretary, Attorney General Sir Richard Wilson, John Scarlett, Francis Richards, Jonathan Powell, Sally Morgan, and Alastair Campbell in the Prime Minister's meeting. And what this is are minutes of the Prime Minister's meeting. And it's, you can find all of this on the DowningStreetMemo.com. Okay? DowningStreetMemo.com. Check it out. I think we might have somebody that might want to talk about Mr. Bush. I'm not sure. Is it Dan in Fort Myers? Hi, Dan.
How you doing?
Good.
Basically, I sit here and listen to you trash George Bush. And
well, did I say, Dan, let me ask you, did I say anything that wasn't true?
I don't believe a bit you said.
Well, what did I say that wasn't true, Dan?
Well, your man saying he's dumb as a fence post?
I didn't say that. A caller did. Okay.
No.
You're not going to call and say that everything I said was wrong. I want you to give me some examples.
No, I just want to ask
I'm the host and you're the caller. If you call in and say that I was wrong about everything I said, I expect you to prove it. Now,
I didn't say that you were. I said I do not agree with
you. No, you said I was wrong on basically everything I said. Those are your words.
Okay. All right, go ahead. Make your points and let me tell you why you're wrong.
No, I already made my points.
I really didn't call in for that. I called in because about John Kerry.
Okay.
I don't agree. You know, I don't agree with what the Democrats say, and that's just my opinion. I listen to it all the time. But I really, the question I want to ask.
Do you agree with what the Republicans say about how they're about
not
how they're
everything,
handling things?
No, I do not agree with everything they say either.
Do you agree with how Bush is running the country right now?
I agree with how I'm living, and I agree with the fact
you,
that we haven't been hit with a terrorist attack.
Did we get hit before 9/11?
Yeah, and Clinton did nothing about it.
Well, what was that? Where we get hit?
When they bombed our embassies and all that.
No. You're talking about things here in this country. We've had plenty of terrorist action against us since 9/11. Our soldiers getting attacked every day, by the way. We had not been attacked on our shores except by a right-wing crazy fool out there in Oklahoma. But there was no attacks on this country except at the...
other than our embassies being blown up?
No. I'm talking about hits here on this country. Where are they?
Oh, I don't...
Where were they? You know, you're saying we haven't had any attacks on us since 9/11. We didn't have any before 9/11 except when they tried to blow up the Twin Towers before and we caught and prosecuted everybody.
I thought our embassies were considered U.S. soil, but...
Well, technically they are, but on this continent, we have not been attacked. Hey, you're welcome to stick around after the top of the hour if you like. I invite you to do so. We've got to pause for news at the top of the hour. You're listening to Wink WNOG, 1240, 1270 AM, Fort Myers, Naples, Florida. We'll be right back after the news.
West Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. Wink WNOG.
Fox News Radio, I'm Ken Duffy. Tropical storm Arlene never became a hurricane. The storm's now moving north through the southern U.S. after making landfall this afternoon. Heavy rains and strong winds have already moved through coastal regions. Fox's Julie Banderas in Gulf Shores, Alabama.
Tropical storm Arlene has moved its way away from us, currently at about 60 miles north-northeast from us. But we are still experiencing rain, and that has certainly been the central topic of this storm.
Arlene's nothing compared to last year. Huge storm.
Hurricane Ivan was out here about 9 months ago, and this place got pounded. This is nothing compared to Hurricane Ivan, which was a Category 3 storm.
Tropical storm watches and hurricane warnings have since been dropped, except from the Alabama-Mississippi border to Panama City, Florida. Stories, accusations, and denials, all becoming part of the search for Natalie Holloway as police refuse to confirm any information connected to her disappearance. Three male suspects appearing in court. Attorney Antonio Carlo, representing one of the boys, says his client is helping in the investigation.
I can only speak for my client. My client did not confess to any crime.
Carlo responding to reports that one boy told police something bad happened to Natalie. Terror takeout. American fighter jets bombing terrorists at the Iraqi-Syrian border, killing 40. The attack was launched after the group began threatening locals. Forgive and forget. G8 nations agreeing to cancel $40 billion in debt from the world's poorest nations. The deal would affect 18 countries, most in Africa. The U.S. and Britain proposed the idea on the heels of a meeting between President Bush and British Prime Minister Tony Blair. And talk about blazing saddles, a Fleet Alex blowing away the competition in the final stretch of the Belmont Stakes to win the race. The field was tight at the top of the stretch, but when a Fleet Alex broke away from the pack to take it, the 6-5 favorite also won the Preakness. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Nothing left of our building, just piles of bricks and concrete.
Small business owner Jonathan Harlan of Jackson, Tennessee.
But because we had a plan, our clients never knew the difference.
Whether it's a natural disaster or a terrorist attack, every business needs an emergency plan. Prepare your business today by visiting www.ready.gov. to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Hey, where were you last year? What happened to your hair? Are you contagious? How come you're always tired?
If you think going back to school is tough for an 8-year-old, imagine doing it while recovering from cancer. CureSearch.org is a website that can help. It connects you to the doctors and scientists whose collaborative research has turned childhood cancer from a nearly incurable disease to one with an overall cure rate of 78%. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel. Brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.
It's been called crazy. Some say it's insane. It's a special event in Naples that only happens once a year. And it's our biggest event of the year. Germania! In Southwest Florida, nobody sells more cars than Germain. And we never sell more cars than during Germania. It's half-off sell-off. Save up to 50% off on over 300 new car trade-ins from Lexus, Toyota, and Lincoln Mercury. Red tag. Save up to 20% white tag. Save up to 30% blue tag. You guessed it, up to 50% off. It's the biggest selection in Collier County. The biggest warranty. Up to 100,000 miles. Cars, trucks, vans, sport utilities, including over 100 Toyota and Lincoln Mercury certified used cars. Now through Monday, they're all on sale. 20, 30, 50% off means half price. You're in Germania. Look for the red, white, and blue tags at Germain Toyota's Big Lot. US 41 at Wiggins Pass, just 15 minutes south of Fort Myers in North Naples, where used cars cost less every day.
The following is a paid commercial announcement. The views and opinions expressed and the advice offered by the host are not necessarily those of Wink WNOG, Fort Myers Broadcasting, Meridian Broadcasting, or any of their affiliate sponsors or assigns.
James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Ah, yes, we're back.
And you're back. We're all back. Glad to have you back. A lot to talk about on the program tonight. Many, many things happening this week. What do you think about this John Conyers situation? He's going to march those signatures down to the White House, I understand. I'd love to be there to walk right by his side, and I know a lot of you would be. You know, he's one of the few people in Washington that just will stand tall. You know, John Conyers is not a big man, but he stands very tall. He believes in what he's doing about this. He's trying to hold Bush's feet to the fire, and I hope it works. You know, we heard all week long once again about Howard Dean. I hate to belabor the point here, but they made such a big deal of Howard Dean. He said nasty things about me. He said, "Mom," he said he called me names. That's what they're doing. And I heard Sean Hannity the other day. First of all, I heard several absurdities come out of his mouth. I heard a caller call him and challenge him that the Republicans hadn't said any nasty things about anybody. And he said, "Well, you have, Sean." And Sean says, "I'm a conservative. I don't identify myself as a Republican. I'm a conservative." What do you all think about that? Has Sean Hannity identified himself with the Republican Party, or is he just always said that he's conservative? Now, you see, if he's a conservative, he couldn't possibly be for this Bush administration, because no real conservative would get within a mile of these people. Hell, they're less conservative than George McGovern. They're less conservative than Lyndon Johnson. I don't know where this is coming from. Sean Hannity, I mean, that's just another one of the lies, but Sean Hannity made the statement that, well, you don't hear Republicans talking like that. You don't hear Republicans saying things like, let me go down through a little list that I've prepared here. I sought out some things that some Republican folks have said. And now this first guy, I don't know if he's a Republican. I don't think he knows what he is except a sex pervert. But he's on Fox News all the time, you know. And, you know, if you're a pervert of some kind, you go to Fox. Just ask Bill Riley about that. And they've got Dick Morris, too. So I would say you would have to agree that of all the sexual perverts on the air, in the media, they go to Fox News, so they give you some idea of what they're doing. But Dick Morris, he said there will never be any moderate Muslim voices. And on Fox, Tony Blankley called George Soros, get this, George Soros, and Blankley called him a Jew who figured out a way to survive the Holocaust. Nice talk here, Tony. Sean Hannity, the guy who says he isn't a Republican, said God is no Democrat. Let's see, what else we got here? The Democrats want Saddam back. Ann Coulter. Oh, yes, our dear, sweet Ann Coulter. Ann Coulter called Americans who don't support Bush traitors. Oliver North, every terrorist wants Kerry to win. Remember that back when he said that? And Hannity asking a question, is it that you hate the president or that you hate America? Michelle Malkin, well, let's see. I don't want to bother with her. Coulter blamed Democrats for 9/11. And Oliver North denied that atrocities occurred in Vietnam. And moments later, anti-Kerry vets said that they did occur. Coulter said Kerry will improve the economy and the emergency services and body bag industry. Newt Gingrich, the righteous moral Newt Gingrich, said, and I quote, that George Soros wants to spend $75 million defeating George W. Bush because Soros wants to legalize heroin. I could go on and on and on here. Tucker Carlson, without the U.S., Canada is essentially Honduras. Falwell called now the National Order of Witches. Radio host Cunningham from Cincinnati told Hannity the election is over because Elizabeth Edwards has now sung. Ann Coulter, I think a baseball bat is the most effective way these days to talk to liberals. It goes on and on and on, you know. And for Hannity to make a statement like that is just truly, really crazy. We haven't said any bad things about the Democrats. No. It's just them. It's that naughty Howard Dean. Naughty Howard Dean. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. 479-5540 here in Lee County, 263-6570 in Collier County. You know, by now you've all heard the tired phrase, the first casualty of war is the truth. And you know, it might be tired, but it's still right on target. The Bush administration doesn't even go near the truth these days. Not that they ever got very close to it. But the reason I bring this up is that my email from those of you on the right this past week was more outrageous and threatening than ever before. People wrote that I should be beheaded, hung like Mussolini, tortured to death by Saddam's people, or shot by a United States military firing squad for treason. I wish you'd be more original than that. You know, those things have all been done. I would think you'd come up with some new things. You're not very original. And all because I've consistently voiced an opinion contrary to theirs concerning the Bush administration. And I don't think anything can point out the positively stark difference between the left and the right in this nation any more than this horrible rhetoric. During the Clinton impeachment, I was very, very angry at the Republicans, that whole panel. Ken Starr and his pack of wolves and the people that egged them on, like Ann Coulter and Lucianne Goldberg, and they made me more angry than I'd ever been concerning political matters. But did I send mail threatening to kill them? Did I call them traitors? Did I even suggest that harm should come to them in any way whatsoever? Of course not. And to be honest, I didn't hear anyone else on my side of the political fence espouse those ideas either. This points out that the far right, which has complete control of the Republican Party, is a party of thugs and liars, and they'll stop at nothing to further their sick agenda. Frankly, I'm more amazed at this White House every single day. Just when I think they couldn't top their last lie, they outdo themselves with another new whopper. And
I really can't decide whether they're just plain liars or pathological liars who can't help themselves and actually believe what they're saying. Sometimes I think they do believe what they're saying. It's just not clear to me which one they are, though. Most recently, we have the debacle over the mistreatment of prisoners concerning their holy book, the Koran. You remember Newsweek did a story which spoke of a Koran being flushed down a toilet, and the White House went absolutely nuts over it, depending, you know, they demanded an apology, a retraction, and swearing that people would be killed because of the story. To my listeners on the right, I'm pleading with you to please try and look at that story objectively. The White House denies the story. They demand an apology from Newsweek, and then a few days later, our own military admits there were cases of the Koran being desecrated in front of prisoners. Of course, the military story was released on Friday evening after the daily news cycle was over, so as few as possible would see it. And then all weekend long, the Bush and his cronies get in front of the microphones and exclaim, well, there were only five cases reported. Only five. That's all. Okay, so there were only five, as they mentioned. Only five that were reported. Face it. If there are 100 shoplifters in a shopping mall, how many of them get caught? The retail stores would tell you that they catch less than 1 out of 10. So how many cases of Koran desecration were there actually? Who knows, 100, 1,000? No one knows, but plain old logic tells us that it was a hell of a lot more than 5. And yet Bush chooses to lie about it. Why? Why does he feel he has to lie about something like that? Why not punish the people that did it, get to the bottom of it? You know, over and over again, the Bush and his people come up with stories that defy credulity. You know, they desperately searched for WMDs for a long time. They sent in their own people whom they crowed were experts, and they didn't find them. Of course not. But did they admit that they were wrong? Oh, no. They said they must have moved them to Syria. And now that's where all the right-wingers think they are. They're parked in a parking lot over in Syria. They got the, you know, some of the camouflage over top and just waiting for the Iraqis to go back and get them, you know, and really bomb hell out of somebody. Got to be in Syria. You know, they were caught in one lie, and then they covered it up with another. And, you know, it's the old story, oh, what web we weave when we first practice to deceive. You know, one lie begets another and another. With this Bush administration, they never end. They'll look the American public in the face and tell one whopper after another and never bat an eye. They're good. They are good. They don't look guilty when they do it. They look very convincing. You know, look at this Gitmo situation. Let's be honest here. We hear a lot of stories of torture at Gitmo from former prisoners who were released. And yet Bush stands before the cameras and says, and I quote, they were trained in some instances to disassemble. That means to not tell the truth. I think he meant dissemble, Mr. President, but he said disassemble. If that's really the case, and if it is, can Bush please explain why, if the military knew these people were lying, why did they let them go? Release anti-American terrorists whom they knew were lying? You know, it's another absolutely outrageous lie by George W. Bush. Why can't my listeners on the right understand the fact that Bush and his handlers took full advantage of 9/11 to implement their long-held plans to invade Iraq? Why is that so hard to understand? Particularly in light of all of the proof coming out, which proves they were lying about their plans. They knew that after 9/11, Americans were willing to do almost anything to gain revenge, and they ran with that. They did. They took advantage of that situation. They knew America was angry. They knew if something like this came up, America would be angry and wanting blood and revenge. And, man, they were ready, weren't they? But look, the polls now show that the majority of Americans think Bush's war wasn't worth it. The polls show that the majority of Americans don't approve of George W. Bush. The majority of Americans no longer trust George W. Bush to effectively lead this country. And still, some of my right-wing listeners cling to the hope that he'll come out of this looking like the proverbial warrior on a big white horse riding off into the sunset with some sort of glowing, heroic legacy. It's time to face it, folks. That's not going to happen. And all of your threats of bodily harm to me and all of your threats to those who want to help sponsor this program will not change that fact. The undeniable fact that George W. Bush has been a miserable failure as president of these United States on both domestic affairs and foreign affairs. And you can threaten me, you can write sponsors, you can write letters to the editor, you can get on your soapbox in the middle of Central Park and crow about George W. Bush every day for the rest of your life, but none of that is going to save his legacy. None of that is going to keep history from declaring George W. Bush the very worst president this nation has ever known. He's in a class by himself. No one close. Don't see a lot of you calling to defend his actions and telling us what good he's done for this country. What do my friends on the right think about these Downing Street memos now that blows their cover and makes a liar out of every one of them that got up and said, "Hey, would you know, we never planned to go to war. We didn't have that plan." What do you think about that? Of course, you're going to stand up and say like Bush and Blair did, "Can you believe that both of them stood up there bald-faced?" And I said, "Well, that's totally been discredited." Been discredited. No, it hasn't. Been discredited by whom? You know, the people that wrote the minutes of this meeting say, no, they're absolutely true. The people that were at this meeting said, no. Those are the authentic minutes of this meeting. And here we got George W. Bush, and we got Tony Blair. But, no, that's totally been discredited. No, it hasn't. No, it has not. But once again, you know, here we are with the mainstream media not doing their job. The role of the media is becoming more and more and more important every single day in this world, and especially in this country. We've got more media people than we've ever had before. We've got more media outlets than we've ever had before. Look at all the cable we've got now. Look at all the news agencies. Look at the internet. Look at all the media we have. And yet, why don't we get the truth about everything? Why don't we? You know, the lies of this Bush administration are, you know, they're put forth without rebuttal by the mainstream media. You know, you take a look at this last election, some polling that was done among Bush voters. And why did this happen? You tell me, why did this happen if the media had done their job and gotten the truth out? 50%, 56%. Of the people that voted for George W. Bush believe that experts agreed that Iraq had WMDs. And if that weren't bad enough, 75% of the people that voted for George W. Bush believe that Iraq was either involved in 9/11 or gave substantial support to Al-Qaeda. Neither one of those, our 9/11 Commission, not a shred of evidence for either one of those. And here's the interesting stat on this whole thing. Among Bush voters, 58% said that if Iraq did not have WMDs or was not involved with Al-Qaeda, the U.S. should not have gone to war. Now, I see his numbers this week are down around 41 or 42% of the people thinking that he's doing a good job as the president of the United States. That's not very good. Seems to me that they always want to bring up Bill Clinton. As Bill Clinton was going through an impeachment process, his numbers were over 60%. And here we have a president that's a war president, down around 40-some-odd percent, depending on how you look at it. 41, 42, miserable numbers, no matter what you think. It amazes me that the media, the mainstream media, is so lax in doing their job. They don't get the job done. And by the way, the mainstream media doesn't answer their phone tonight. Jeff Morley at the Washington Post. Jeff, where are you? We're trying to get a hold of Jeff to talk about the Downing Street memo, but still not there. Let's go to Juan in Fort Myers. Hi, Juan.
Hi, Guy. You're passionate about what you speak. Don't get too passionate. Don't want you to have a heart attack there. We need you.
Hey, my blood pressure's been doing really good, Juan. Juan, I know you're a physician, and I want to tell you, I've been doing this
been having physical training and a special diet and working out and the whole thing and lost a bunch of weight and really getting in shape. And my blood pressure is just like, wow, it's gone down. It's terrific numbers. I guess exercise and diet actually works.
Yeah, it does work. Weight, high blood pressure, diabetes, and cholesterol are probably top enemies. So that's good. It will help other things, too, which is great.
Anyway, I interrupted you.
I was calling because, you tell the truth, and Howard Dean tells the truth. Every time I listen to the radio and outside of your program, there's a lot of misleading or half truth, and it's upsetting because in my opinion, Howard Dean speaks for me and it speaks for the majority of Americans that cannot afford to buy favors or bribe politicians. So he's speaking for the silent majority, and everybody should listen because America belongs to all of us. Every time the Republicans get elected, and these facts are easy to look up, jobs go down. And yes, the economy does increase, but if you look at it, it's just for the wealthy people. The standard of living has gone down, and in the Republican administration, there is no difference in this administration for the middle class and for the poor. And I don't know why the average American don't get it. A fellow called a little while ago, he said that he's judging this president is doing well because he's doing better. Well, I'm doing better in my business too, but I don't think George Bush had anything to do with it. I look at what he does for the entire country, not what he's doing for me. I wanted to say a couple of things. The Republicans have one of their talking points is blame America first crowd. This refers to us as that, and that's they think they're putting us down because of that. Well, we don't blame America. At least I can speak for myself. I don't blame America first, but I do blame the administration when they're wrong, when they lie, and when they deceive us. So I'm blaming our elected officials when they're wrong. And that's the only way we can keep integrity, if we can call something wrong. So it's not blame America first. Blame Bush first if he's wrong, because that's the only way our elected officials, because, integrity matters. It may not matter to them, but it does matter to a lot of us.
It does.
They get in office by two tricks. The main thing that they have, made a change in this country, in my opinion, has been that, they have been controlling the airways. And we got to figure out a way to get the airways back, at least get a 50-50. They control the radio stations, and the truth doesn't get out. And that's the only way they can win, because they cannot allow the truth of the other side to get out, because they are not able to brainwash the other people. There were a lot of these people were saying during the Soviet Union that they were brainwashing people. That's what they're doing. They're brainwashing the poor to vote against their own self-interest. You look at here in the state of Florida. About 50-50, the population is 50-50 for presidential elections and usually for the for the governorship. But then you look at the second way that they control things is by gerrymandering the districts. You look at the Florida House, it's mostly Republican, and it's because what they've done. They reach from the West Coast to the East Coast just to get a bunch of Democrats on this side to dilute their votes so that to make it easier for the Republicans to get on board when they get the Cuban-American that is very strong in the other coast on the issue of Cuba. So, they're diluting the gerrymandering. We know what gerrymandering is. And then when our governor puts on, he wants to go and give Medicaid money to his buddies in the insurance company, he's allowed, there's no Democrats there to say, hey, wait a minute, you can't do this. It's not a good service to the people. Or when he decides to give the hotel industry, now he's passed a bill that when the hotel industry, and there's a lot of hotels in the Orlando area, when there's a hurricane and the business people can't cancel on them, that we, the taxpayers, are going to subsidize them. Why doesn't he subsidize my office, the small office, the small business, only the big office, whenever the big corporation?
Sure.
That is crazy. That is welfare. It's corporate welfare. And they're being bought, and they have to pay up. And that's what's the problem with this country, and we need to get that message out. And good for Howard Dean. He has to tell it like it is, and I hope he sticks around.
Juan, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Good to hear from you, my friend. Let's go to Tony in Lehigh. Says he wants to defend George W. Bush. Hi, Tony.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
One thing, when you look at the records of them both at college, I believe, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, that in the end, Bush had a slightly higher GPA.
Actually, it's slightly lower. It's 1 point lower.
Yeah, well, so they basically, whether it's 1 point above, 1 point below, you know, it's a crapshoot. They're basically the same. And I think the reason why Kerry never released his records is probably his military. Is that was the only place that he had to show when he went into the military.
But the Navy released his records.
Right, but he signed for it. He allowed it, that 10 whatever it was, 1080.
Yeah, we've seen his military records.
Right, and that had to be in there. I assume that's why he came out.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? So they're equally the same. Yes, I would say Kerry probably is a better commander of the English language, you might say.
I'd say that, yeah.
And is more articulate. But Bush seems to get to the everyday working person with his speeches. They seem to put more into it.
What does he say that resonates with you, Tony?
I'm sorry, say again?
What does he say that resonates with you?
I'm not here to say how political I am or not. Mm-hmm. All I'm saying is that you had said that nobody's calling and defending Bush in the aspect of...
How he's running the country and all.
Well, running the country, I think he was dealt a bad hand. And it wouldn't matter if Gore to get elected back in 2000, he'd be probably in the same position, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
It was a no-win situation for the country overall. And then when you said we hadn't been attacked other than the 9/11, and then somebody did bring up the fact that it had been bombed prior to that.
The embassy.
The World Trade Center.
Yeah, I brought that up. It was bombed just a few weeks after Bill Clinton came in.
Right, that's what I'm saying. You know, when you're that close to are you saying that it wasn't Clinton's fault?
Well,
that it was bombed?
Whose fault it was, but it was a few weeks after Bill Clinton
took
office.
It's the same with the 9/11.
But the only problem is we don't have a bunch of records from the FBI and CIA that show that Bill Clinton was warned over and over and over again like this, like we do that George Bush was warned. He was warned, and they took no heed of his warnings at all. None.
Yeah, but
you know what he did? He was briefed by the CIA that the things were going on, and we might be attacked by airplanes, by hijacked airplanes. What he did, he went to Crawford, Texas on vacation.
Fine. Well, what about when Clinton made the political decision not to give the Army personnel carriers in Somalia, and we lost 24 Rangers? That was a political decision.
Clinton came in at the end of that. Clinton had no control over that situation at all.
Wait a minute.
That was George Bush's father that put us into Somalia.
Clinton refused to give the military. Remember, it was the Pakistanis who finally got up to relieve him. You know, people forget that.
Bill Clinton didn't start this deal in Somalia.
No,
it doesn't make any difference who did.
I didn't say he started it, but he was in charge when that happened.
Well, you certainly don't want to compare that to the record that's going on now,
no,
do you?
All I'm saying is, once you make a political decision, and I, by the way, I have a problem with all these political decisions anyhow, And they started at the end of World War II, when we started making political decisions and not military decisions.
Well, you're not gonna go there that you think we should have gone after the Russians, or do you?
No.
Okay.
No, that's not what I said. I said, but we made a lot of political decisions over military. The same thing in Korea. It was what? A police action, not a war.
Well,
Well, Ike said it best. Beware of the military-industrial complex. They've gotten us in hot water over and over and over again, and they'll continue to do so until somebody reins
in.
Well,
I'm not so sure it's just a military complex.
Well, if you let them run without reining them in, you're going to have a problem with. Hey, Tony, I got a break at the bottom of the hour. I thank you for your call.
Okay.
Thanks very much.
Right.
You're listening to the Guy James Show. We'll be right back after a few words. Don't go anywhere.
Restoring the liberal media, the Guy James Show. Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. Wink WNOG.
Life is better with a boat. And boats are better at Southwest Florida's number one marine retailer, Boats Unlimited. Right now, only Boats Unlimited has double the factory rebates on hundreds of new boats. Double the factory rebates on hurricane deck boats, sweetwater pontoon boats, and boulder fishing boats, all powered by Yamaha. $1,000 rebates become $2,000. $3,000 rebates become $6,000 only at Boats Unlimited. Right now, this Sweetwater 160F pontoon boat with a Yamaha 25 horsepower four stroke is only $10,995. Only $10,995. Wow! You can afford that. Hurricane deck boats, Sweetwater pontoon boats, and polar fishing boats, all powered by Yamaha. All on sale with double the factory rebates. Only at Southwest Florida's number one marine retailer, Boats Unlimited, with two great locations at Del Prado and Southeast 46th Street, Cape Coral, and on Tamiami Trail, Charlotte Harbor. Life is better with a boat.
When there's a hurricane, getting accurate information fast can mean the difference between life and death. Last year, Southwest Florida depended on the Wink News team for full, up-to-the-minute hurricane information from the first call.
Moving towards the Southwest Florida coastline.
Throughout the storm until the danger was past. This hurricane season, depend on the Wink News team to keep you on top of alerts, evacuation orders, and the information you need to protect your family. Trust Wink News, Southwest Florida's Hurricane Central.
Wake up to a new morning with Wink News. Patrick Gomer and Stacey Adams get you going with breaking news, weather, and exclusive Sky Eye traffic. Waking up is hard to do. Wink News makes it easier with your first forecast, your first look at the roads, and breaking news from around the corner and around the world. Wink News this morning, weekdays from 5 to 8, only on Wink News, Southwest Florida's news leader.
The following is a message from George H.W. Bush and Bill Clinton.
We're here today because, like you, we share a strong desire to do everything we can to help alleviate the terrible suffering caused by the recent tsunami disaster.
Millions of people have lost loved ones, including children, homes, and in some cases, hope. And though it happened on the other side of the world, it touches our hearts, and we want to help.
The greatest source of America's generosity is the good heart of the American people. And that's why we come to you, not as presidents, but as two private citizens.
Everyone can help, and every dollar contributed will impact someone's life. So visit usafreedomcorps.gov to choose a reputable charity to accept your donations directly. You can trust that your contribution will be well spent.
No one can change what happened.
But we can all change what happens next.
Thank you.
To make a cash donation to a reputable charity, visit usafreedomcorps.gov. A PSA brought to you by the Ad Council.
The next time you have a plane to catch, remember that being prepared can help you fly through the security line. Julia Ryan, Vice President of Traveler's Advantage, explains.
Travelers should put all metal objects, including keys and cell phones, in their carry-on bags. They should also be ready to take their shoes off and remove their belts if they have big metal buckles. That can save time at the metal detector.
To learn about membership in Traveler's Advantage, visit traveler'sadvantage.com or call 1-877-841-1335.
This is a letter about 8-month pregnant Billy LaTurner that never should have been written. It says, "The driver was drunk and crashed through my daughter's windshield and onto her. Billy was life-flighted to the hospital. Zachary was delivered by C-section 30 minutes after the wreck. Billy lived 8 hours. Zachary lived 9. Signed, Mrs. LaTurner."
What should you do to stop a friend from driving drunk? Whatever you have to. Friends don't let friends drive drunk. A public service message brought to you by the Ad Council, Department of Transportation, and RAD.
The nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
You know, I was sitting here during the commercial break thinking about this. One of the callers brought this up about people voting for him, and I think it was Juan that brought up, you know, we don't understand why the average guy votes for George W. Bush. I really don't understand, but I was thinking about it during the break, and I've come up with a couple of ideas. I think, first of all, that the, and you'll disagree with me, some of you will on this, but I think the white racist really love him because he's so strongly against affirmative action. That doesn't mean he's a racist, but he's against affirmative action. And the racist, you know, they love that one. And then you've got the crazy fundies, the fundamentalists who have got the Republican Party in their back pocket right now. They love him because he's literally erased the line between religion and the Constitution, and because he wants to wipe out Islam. They love that. And the rich really love him because he has and is doing everything possible to further enrich him and drive the middle and poor classes into the ground. So why wouldn't they love him? And he's done some great things for those people. Some great things. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. If you're listening locally, 479-5540. In Lee County and in Collier County, 263-6570. We're going to talk to Amanda in Georgia. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Guy. How you doing? Can you hear me?
Yes, it's good to hear from you.
I can barely hear you.
Okay, we're here, though.
Everything you pointed out was absolutely true because, you know, I spend some time not preaching to the choir, but preaching over there to the white. And you're right. You're absolutely correct about why he's got some of the support he has. And you can't change some of those far right wingers. You just really can't do it.
No.
But I did want to say this. When we're talking about the war in Iraq, and you and I had talked about this a year ago, the truth of the matter is, if President Kennedy, and there were weapons of mass destruction aimed right at us, those of us who are old enough to remember, had listened to all those people who was wanting to rush to war, we wouldn't be here today.
That's right.
And there were four generals who were begging, horrified, I think it was four, who said, don't do this. Don't do this. You're going to, you know, I think even Colin Powell said, if you break it, you buy it.
I don't think a lot of people ever understood just how close we were.
No. Well, we were 90 miles off the coast of Florida from Cuba, and I mean, we were... And President Kennedy said, you know, no, let's back up and let's test these waters here. Let's, you know, see what we can do. And that brings us to Bolton. That brings us to Adlai Stevenson. I mean, do we really want a person to go into the UN?
Oh, that's an excellent point.
I mean,
do we really
want a person like that? I mean, when you think of the State Department, and you think you should think of cool heads.
Yes.
You should think of someone who can negotiate, because after all the wars, it still comes down to the negotiating table.
That's very true.
And I post left, and I post right, and I post this constantly. You know.
That's true. That was a hairy time, the Cuban Missile Crisis. You're a lot younger than me, and
probably, no, I'm not.
I was in high school, and.
Yeah,
I remember
in high school too, and we had the duck and cover. Remember the problem?
Oh yeah. Well, our school cleaned out the down in the basement of the school where they kept the coal for the furnace. They cleaned out the coal, and we had bomb drills going down to the basement. And we older kids had to escort the little kids down and do these bomb drills. And we did them over and over and over again. People were worried.
Oh, sure they were. We have, you know, I think it finally summed up on a special I saw that maybe we were 15 minutes from being just wiped off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had to have cool heads in an administration. And I'm telling you, the tide's turning. Because some of the Republicans that I've talked to are very disappointed on this border safety. They're watching Lou Dobbs.
Oh, sure.
And when you look at those numbers, 42%, 43%, and I had originally was going to call on health care, which, forget that.
Well, those are not very good numbers for a second-term president.
Yeah, I mean, none of this. Telling you that 60, almost 70% of America is not agreeing with this administration's policy, domestic or foreign?
Yeah.
You know, and this is this is the kind of thing that people need to understand. And as far as the veteran situation, that is down the tubes so, so bad. People just have no idea how much cutbacks. I know. I talked to some of these people, a lot of these people, some coming back from Iraq. And it's just not there for them.
Well, and I was on an airplane not long ago, a couple of weeks ago, and I sat beside, right beside a guy that worked for the Veterans Administration over many different states, and he said that they're just getting chop, chop, chop everywhere, and the services are going straight downhill.
Oh, I can tell you, I spent an hour and a half on the phone regarding, first of all, a veteran who has problems cannot go through all their automated system. You can't even get a real person.
Sure.
And, I mean, to tell me, well, there's nothing we can do, you know. I sat there for well over 55 minutes for a person who was at the VA to tell me, well, we're understaffed and undermanned and no money. And I said, like, I don't know this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly right.
Well, you know, what is the answer to all of this? I said, you know, first of all, you know, this is ridiculous that a veteran would have to wait and wait and wait. Well, most of them die before they get a claim through.
Yep, send them to war, take care of them when they come home.
Why the recruitment stands?
Yeah.
Recruitment stands,
sure.
Because you look at how you treat your veteran. They love you in uniform, and they don't care too much for you when you're out of it.
Amanda, so, thanks for your call.
And I want to say something, Guy, if I can just have a few minutes.
Okay, I got...
I want to plead with people to sponsor this show. It is very imperative. Guy James has one of the best talk shows out there. I rank him above Air America. Please support the Guy James Show.
Amanda, thank you so much.
Thank you, Guy.
Appreciate your call. Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you. Bye-bye.
Let's go to Bill in beautiful Bonita Springs. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Guy. How you doing?
Good.
I wanted to say that I appreciate your show, and I rarely ever agree with anything that you got to say, but I do appreciate the fact that you're putting up the other side, and I enjoy listening to what the Democratic Party is, you know, their way of thinking. Listen, there's a couple of things that you stated. It's fact that I'm driving, so I don't have all the information right in front of me as I drive, but they're not the way that I recall them. One of the things that you mentioned was that the 9/11 Commission report, I think the way you said there was no hint of any Al-Qaeda activity in Iraq.
They said they could not prove any. There were allegations of it, but they could not prove a connection.
You know, the way I remember it was that there was a nod of the head to the fact that there were Al-Qaeda training bases in Iraq, and there were what most Democrats refer to as there was no evidence of a Saddam Hussein connection to 9/11. And I think that that's how the commission report came out, but I think that there was, in fact, agreement generally that there was an Al-Qaeda presence in Iraq prior to
that. It was also agreed that Al-Qaeda and Saddam were water and oil and didn't mix.
Right. I think there was some basis to think that there was money changing hands from Saddam Hussein, but you're right. I think that you're right when you say that, generally speaking, they were not seen to be allies, but their presence was tolerated in Iraq. Another thing you said was about the educational records between Kerry and Bush. Kerry having an edge. That's not the way that I read it. I read that Bush had an edge in points, and that Kerry had 3 or 4 D's as a freshman. Bush only had 1 D his entire college career. And I think you can weigh that or prove that by both applied to Harvard Law School. Kerry was denied, and Bush was accepted.
Bush couldn't even get in, but do be mindful of the fact that Bush couldn't even get into the University of Texas Law School. So,
well, no, Bush went to Harvard.
Yeah, but he had applied to the University of Texas, and he couldn't get in there.
Well, now, is that an academic issue? I don't know, because I would think Harvard's academic standards would be higher than
Texas. Well, of course Harvard standards are higher, but he was denied at the University of Texas, where he wanted to go, but he couldn't get in. And he mysteriously ends up in Harvard. But the reason he ended up at Harvard, I forget what they call that word. If you got family that's been there, they'll take you. That's how he got into Harvard. He could never have gotten in there on his academic record, because he was turned away just by a state school in Texas.
Well, certainly Kerry was turned down by Harvard.
Well, he ended up at Yale, not a bad school.
Boston University for law school.
You don't really want to. You don't really want to tell me that you think they're intellectually equal, do you?
You know, I got to tell you, I think that it's kind of like one of your previous callers said. I'm not going to tell you that they communicate on an equal basis. I think I think Bush is more detached. But I'm not going to tell you that. I don't think that Kerry is intellectually superior. Did you
hear the little? I can't think of her name. The little singer from overseas, from Wales. She met George W. Bush. Did you hear what she said about him?
Well, I know that overseas, George Bush doesn't have a lot of fans anywhere. But
she told George Bush she was from Wales, and he asked her, "What state is that in?"
Well, you know, George Bush is famous for having a lot of, yogiisms, like Yogi Berra.
Yeah.
But
Yogi wasn't the brightest bulb either.
Well, I mean, you could say the same about Howard Dean. Howard Dean's coming out saying, Republicans have never worked an honest day in their life. Republicans all look. You know, I mean, that's not an intelligent thing to say either.
He's speaking in generalities when he talks about that. And I said the only place I disagree with him is that he should put a caveat on there and say not all Republicans. I would say that. But as far as him being brutally honest, most of the time, I think he's doing a pretty good job. Got to move on, Bill. Thank you for your call. Good to hear from you. Let's go to, let's see, where are we going to go here? We're going to go to Derek in Fort Myers. Hi, Derek.
Hey, guy.
Howdy.
How's it going? I want to talk about this bozo that we got in the White House.
Okay.
Man, what's up with him? What's up with these Republicans, man? What's wrong with these people?
Well, I don't think he's getting the job done very well.
I think that's an understatement.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And this Bush guy, man, he's a bad dude, man. What do we got to do to get something done about this?
Well, we just got to make the public aware of what's going on and hope that the next election that we can change the Congress over and get the way that America thinks back into line with something more mainstream outside of these neocons and Bush that are running things. We need to get the media to do a better job. That's what we need to do.
Yeah, those neocons, man. What are we going to do about these Republicans all taking over everything?
Well, we're just going to have to work harder. That's all. We're going to have to educate people. That's one of the things this show's all about.
I every time I meet one of these Republican fellas, man, I don't know what to say.
Well, one thing that, you know, there's several things they always do. When you get into an argument anytime with a Republican, there's several things to always think of. At no time. When you're having a discussion with a Republican over politics, at no time should you ever address the actual facts that they raise. And number two, they're always going to say liberals or Clinton did it too, and they always shoot the messenger no matter what, and they always use some sort of a caricature to demean anybody who opposes them. So, you know, it's one thing to always remember. I do thank you for your call, Derek. It's good to hear from you. Let's go to John in Fort Myers. Hi, John.
Yes, I enjoyed the caller before this last one, and I should tell him there is a Santa Claus and an Easter Bunny. These Republicans just, I don't know why they don't see it. Here we have a president whose wife is, he's put her in charge of three programs he's assigned no funding for. One is the reading program, another one for women, and then this thing about our young boys who are getting into mischief. Why do the Republicans always want all these programs but never want to fund anything or never want to pay for anything? I've noticed this about them. They just like a free ride.
Well, it makes their resume look good. We passed this, we passed that.
I'm waiting for, I forgot that, but I wanted to talk about Tony Blair. I found it very interesting that he was meeting with our president this week, and I think he was calling in some of his IOUs from President Bush, and President Bush said, take a flying leap.
Yeah, he sure did.
And if people don't know what it is, it's this aid to Africa, and, of course, the global or climate change, whatever you want to call it, the Earth's atmosphere is changing. And of course, the president has got a lawyer that's rewriting all the information that people in that business gave them.
Yeah, just a little editing job going on there in the basement of the White House, yes.
There isn't an elected official that has has any scientific background to know what's happening to our climate. And they keep voting, and they didn't want to sign on to this treaty that the rest of the world wanted to stop global warming, climate change, whatever it is. And we are just making a mess of this atmosphere. Everybody in the whole world, not just the Republicans or the Democrats. But you have to be blind not to see it. When you light a fire, you make smoke. That goes in the atmosphere. Right there, you've changed the environment. Look at all the things that are going on in this world, that we're burning fuels and we're changing the topography and all of it. And we have people in our government that say it's not happening.
Yeah.
It's totally ridiculous.
Yeah.
And Tony Blair, he must be a real disappointed guy. Now, I wonder maybe if he's going to call his troops out of Iraq saying, hey, the war was over when the president landed on the deck of that aircraft carrier, and we're involved in a police action now, and frankly, we're not the policemen of the world, even though America thinks they are the policemen of the world. I'd like people to stop and look at maybe they can go on the National Geographic's website, and last year they had an article that showed where all our troops are around the world. And folks, if you don't get the impression after you see how many countries we have troops in, if you can't get the feeling that we aren't the policemen of the world, you're just not looking.
That's right.
So anyway,
you're absolutely right.
Thank you so much for a wonderful program.
Thanks for your call, John. You know, I don't think anything, I'm not going to make a big deal out of this tonight, but I don't think anything points out the corruption and just downright misleading things that the Bush administration has done any more than this tobacco story this week. I know a lot of you kept track of this, that the tobacco industry had been ordered to pay the government was seeking $130 billion that a government expert had testified that it was necessary to fund, you know, smoking cessation programs and so forth from the Justice Department. But now, in Bush's Justice Department, they're going to only ask the tobacco companies to pay $10 billion. They went from $130 billion to $10 billion over 5 years. Now they're saying, oh, well, you know, it might put the tobacco companies out of business. So what? Yeah, there would be some jobs lost. Do you suppose there would be more jobs lost than there would be people that are killed every year by tobacco? I'm sorry if I'm offending smokers here. I'm a former smoker myself, and I'm not one of those ones that goes on a campaign about it and all. But when I see the government backing cutting this down from $130 billion down to $10 billion, and actually the tobacco company, the lawyer for the tobacco companies, oh, yeah, we were surprised. They've gone, and this is actually what the tobacco company lawyer said. He said they've gone down from $130 billion to $10 billion with absolutely no explanation. It's clear the government hasn't thought through what it's doing. This is the lawyer for the tobacco companies. So, you know, who paid who to get that kind of a deal going, huh? $130 billion down to $10 billion. Doesn't sound like a very good deal to me. Let's talk to Lisa in North Fort Myers. Hi, Lisa.
Hi. I just wanted to let everybody know that's down in this area that the North Fort Myers Democratic Club is having a chili cook-off next Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be at the Old Bay Shore Firehouse. And it's $10 a person. And anybody that's a Democrat that would like to come is more than welcome.
Okay, and it's going to be, can they call someplace for tickets and so forth?
Yeah, they could call me, Lisa, at 543-2070, and I'll put down a reservation for you.
Okay, chili, that makes me hungry. I love a good bowl of chili.
Well, there should be a lot. We have 10 different Democratic clubs in the area that are donating chili to get into the cook-off.
Mm-hmm. And it's from what, 6 o'clock on to what?
It's 6 until everybody goes home.
Okay.
And we have Dave Ehrenberg coming to talk if anybody's interested in coming and listening to him.
Okay. Well, I'll be here in the studio chili-less. I won't get any chili.
I'm sorry about that.
Thank you for calling.
Thank
Lisa.
You.
It does sound good. A nice bowl of chili. It's not on my diet, though. Got too much fat in it for me.
Not that chili's not good, though, because I make a mean bowl of chili myself, and I love chili soup. I've had very few bowls of chili in my life that I didn't like. It's just one of those dishes that a lot of people make really great chili. We're going to have Republican Love in the last hour of the program. I do invite you to stay tuned for that. We've got some nice, interesting folks that wrote us some love letters this week. Man, I wish I could just read that one I got this afternoon to you. You'd just drop over if you heard that one. It's amazing. Amazing, this one I got this afternoon. Most vile piece of mail I think I ever gotten, ever heard of. Ooh, some people. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. Want to hear your opinions on anything we've said this evening? If you've got a bone to pick with us on it. You know, I got a bone to pick with John Kerry. Got a real bone to pick with John Kerry. I talked to John Kerry's office last week, and they told me that he was all hot and bothered about the Downing Street memo, and he was going to bring it up on the Senate floor. Well, he didn't. Now, what happened, John? What happened? Did they get to you? That's what I want to know. I backed you for president, John. So I think those of us that did back you for president, we deserve to know what happened when you told, you let it be known that you were going to bring it up about, bring up this whole sordid story of the Downing Street memo. You're going to bring it up on the Senate floor, and then you don't. Now, Monday didn't bring it up because they said he wasn't back in town yet. Tuesday after that, it gets a little fuzzy. And from Wednesday on, they just didn't want to talk about it. So all the information we had last week about that is just, was just plain wrong, and I'm really sorry about that. Really sorry that John Kerry didn't follow through. If you are an Ohio resident and you want to talk about the debacle that's going on and how the great coin caper, why, be sure and call in and let us know. We'll be happy to talk to you about it. You know, one of our favorite congressmen, Sherrod Brown from Ohio, you know, he's a former Secretary of State in Ohio. Sherrod Brown is a hell of a guy. He's one of the best, and he's a guy that'll just stand up and just put it right to you. Whatever the truth is, Sherrod Brown will let you have it, and he says that the election might have been purchased in Ohio with stolen money. Huh? With Noe stealing all that money, donating all that money to the Bush campaign and to the Arnold Schwarzenegger campaign and here and there to Blackwell, to all these people, all Republicans. And Sherrod Brown says the election might have been purchased with stolen money. And you all know how close it was in Ohio and how a couple of million bucks could have made the difference there. Hmm. Interesting, don't you think? But I don't think anybody did have high hopes that Governor Taft and the solid group of Republicans in Ohio, the, you know, would run an honest administration up there. They have not. It's been a total fiasco in Ohio, and I think Republicans are ready to bail out on him. Hey, you're listening to the Guy James Show on Wink WNOG, 1240, 1270 a.m. in Fort Myers and Naples, Florida, and we're going to come back with more of this program, including Republican Love, right after the top of the hour.
A Democrat and proud of it, Guy James.
Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. Wink WNOG.
Fox News Radio, I'm Ken Duffy. Sorting out fact from fiction. Conflicting reports on the whereabouts of missing teenager Natalie Holloway. Aruba's Justice Minister Rudy Cruz telling Fox News reports that Holloway's body was at a lighthouse overnight were false.
It's not true that we have found anybody. And it's since this morning at 10 o'clock, I had my last update. And they just told me that they found some blood in the car, but still, we don't know to whom the blood belonged. But until now, we haven't found anybody. We haven't found anybody, and I don't have that notification that we have a body. And we still hope that Natalie really is alive.
Cruz also says he can't rule out that drugs were involved in the case. Three young men are being held, allegedly the last to see Natalie before she disappeared. Arlene isn't as mean as forecasters thought. The tropical storm reaching the United States mainland, now a tropical depression. Heavy rains moving north with winds falling to 35
25 miles an hour. Storm watches and warnings have been lifted.
Right now we're looking at wind surf with winds and rain and of course waves with that wind surf, waves reaching up to 20 feet. This area still recovering from Hurricane Ivan, which hit 9 months ago. Certainly this will not become a hurricane, certainly not nearly as bad as hurricanes in the past. In Gulf Shores, I'm Julie Banderas, Fox News Radio.
And there was no stumble this time. A clean victory for Fleet Alex at the Belmont Stakes, the 6-5 favorite, taking off like a rocket in the home stretch. Andromeda's Hero placing second. Remember Giacomo, the Kentucky Derby winner? He came in seventh. A Fleet Alex also won the Preakness, despite almost falling in the final stretch of that race. You're listening to Fox News Radio, Fair and Balanced.
Your children are so precious. You'd do anything to protect them. Build fences, install security systems, even move to a safer neighborhood. When your children are at home, you think they're safe. But are they? What about the internet? Have you taught them to protect themselves online? Make internet safety a family concern. Visit www.netsmarts.org.
Now, Mrs. Johnson, before we close on your mortgage loan, I want to make sure you remember Mike.
Hi. You can trust me. I'm African-American, just like you.
So, here's the low monthly payments and interest rates we promised, and here's where they triple.
The rest of this stuff is just here to make sure that we get your house when you can't pay us back.
What a lovely house.
Predatory lenders are never this easy to spot. Call us at 866-222-FAIR and protect yourself with the facts. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Fair Housing Alliance and the Ad Council.
A little upset.
Why? Are the in-laws in town?
No, everybody wants me to spend money. Buy now, pay later. Buy two, get one free. I want to save money, not spend it.
Now, how about this? Call Breeze Mortgage.
What can you do for me?
We've got the best rates, refinancing home purchases. We'll cut your payments virtually in half with our new interest-only loan.
Let me guess. Refi now, pay later, right?
No. Save now. Call now at 239-598-1881 and listen to the Breeze Mortgage program every Saturday at noon.
I'll call Breeze Mortgage, a great loan for my great heart.
Richard Brown, president of Brown and Hart Financial Group, hosts a talk show all about money on Wink WNOG every Saturday morning from 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. There you can find out information about their free financial physicals. The free financial physical will review your goals, needs, and objectives. Call in each Saturday morning at 10 and have your investment questions answered. All about money and investing, hosted by Richard Brown, president of Brown and Hart Financial Group. Saturdays at 10 a.m. on 1240 and 1270 Wink WNOG.
The following is a paid commercial announcement. The views and opinions expressed and the advice offered by the host are not necessarily those of Wink WNOG, Fort Myers Broadcasting, Meridian Broadcasting, or any of their affiliate sponsors or assigns. James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Hey, we got about 55 minutes left in the program tonight. Where does the time go? I say that every week, but the time just flies by when you're having the fun we're having. And it is fun to do this program. It really is. I enjoy talking to all the callers. I enjoy talking a little bit myself. I enjoy hearing what you have to say, whether you're from the left or the right. I always enjoy it. And so it's a labor of love to come in and do the Guy James Show every week. And I do hope you folks will help sponsor this program. It's a donor-supported program. And I want to thank all of you that do donate to the program. We've got monthly subscribers to the program or one-time donors, however you do it. We do appreciate that. And I do try and thank each and every one of you who donate to the program, and I do want to thank many, many of you for helping out. It's important to us to keep this show going. I think it's important for America to keep the show going. You can donate by going to www.theguyjamesshow.com. And let me stress, it's very important right now, very important that we get some donations in to help pay for the program. www.theguyjamesshow.com. And you can also donate in our snail mail address, 12870 Tradeway 4, number 108. That's 12870 Tradeway 4, number 108, in Bonita Springs, Florida, 34135. Before I get back to the phone, you all know who Marcy Kaptur is, U.S. representative from Ohio. I believe Marcy's from Toledo, being a former Buckeye. I'm pretty sure Marcy's from the Toledo area. She's talking about the scandal going on in Ohio. And, folks, this is incredible. It really is. This isn't anything somebody dreamed up or ginned up to get these Republicans. This has happened. And she said the governor of our state has permitted millions and millions of dollars of workers' money from the Ohio Workers' Compensation Fund to be invested in high-risk investments. Her accusation came just hours after the Bureau acknowledged that it lost $215 million, that ain't hey, in a high-risk fund, get this, run by Pittsburgh businessman Mark D. Lay, who has contributed, not to be confused with the other Delay, this is Mark D. Lay, who has contributed to Governor Bob Taft's campaign and other candidates. What a surprise. And he also contributed to some Democrats. The governor's office was notified of the loss last October, but a spokesman for Mr. Taft said yesterday he was not made aware of the concern. You gonna tell me? That's a good one. Hey, could I speak to the governor, please? I'm calling from the Workers' Compensation Bureau here in Ohio. I need to talk to him for a minute. Well, no, he's not available right now. Well, could you give him a message for me? Yes, we'll give him a message for you. What's your message? Well, I just figured out we lost $215 million of our investment money over here at Workers' Comp, and I don't know, we're kind of in a bind, and I'd like you to let Governor Taft know so he could get back to me and we could figure out what the hell to do about this, because it's a big problem. Okay, I'll tell the governor. And so they don't let Governor Taft know that they lost $215 million. How many of you believe that? Raise your hands, boys and girls, if you believe that one. You know, a $215 million loss coupled with a failed $50 million rare coin investment by Tom Noe, the prominent Republican campaign contributor, has given Democrats political ammunition against the GOP, which has dominated the state government in Ohio for years. And Marcy Kaptur said, shame on the governor of Ohio. Shame on the state officials of the state of Ohio. Where else would she say? She called out Governor Taft as well as GOP gubernatorial candidates, Attorney General Jim Petro, State Auditor Betty Montgomery, and the real dandy of the bunch, Secretary of State J. Kenneth Blackwell. The governor's cronies have been losing money, and the Attorney General, the Auditor, and the Secretary of State seem to hear no evil and see no evil. Well, dirty business going on there. Very, very, very dirty business. Now, Bush's campaign did send some money back to Noe, $4,000 in campaign contributions. I heard that Arnold Schwarzenegger gave back $10,000. They're, like I said earlier in the program, rats jumping off a sinking ship right there. I hope the people in Ohio come to their senses. Let's go and join the and vote the rascals out, by the way. Let's go to John in Naples. Hi, John.
Yeah, hi, Guy. I wanted to bring up the subject you talk about voting the rascals out. Before the next election, is anybody going to do anything about these touchscreen voting machines, which has no paper trail? If we're ever going to have a recount, how are we going
to
do it?
You know, John, I wish I had the answer to that. It doesn't look to me like anybody's serious about doing anything about it.
You know, like Howard Dean is getting into everything. Why doesn't he bring this out?
Yeah. Well, he talks about it.
We all know it's the Republican people, big donors to the Republican Party, have the company which made the machines, controls the programming of them and everything else. And you're never going to be able to trust a vote.
Never. I completely agree.
Guy completely agreed there will never be another election.
And just write it down on a piece of paper who you want to vote for.
That's good enough for me. Good enough for you, isn't it?
I would love to have it.
You betcha. And have people from both parties there to count the votes when they take them out.
That would be nice, yeah.
You bet. And, you know, and John, I know you know, they've proven that those things can be hacked.
Oh, well, you know, I can go to McDonald's, I get a receipt when I buy a hamburger.
Yeah.
You know, with a touch that, they use touch screens, they don't even have to know how to read. They put your picture of what you bought and it brings up the price.
Yep.
But you can get a receipt printed out from that.
And your vote's a whole lot
now,
more precious than that hamburger.
Machines print out a piece of paper.
Should be easy enough to do.
And, you know, in a carbon copy where they have a copy,
sure.
They hand you a copy to show you what you voted.
Absolutely.
It would be so easy.
It would. And, John, you're absolutely right. Nobody's ever going to trust a vote again.
I think we better do it because, you know, we have an election coming up another year for Congress and another... 3 years, you know, we got to get Hillary Clinton in there, and we aren't going to do it on Republican-run machines.
Well, that's you've made a point that I wholeheartedly agree with, John. I thank you very much for calling the program.
I hope you can get, more people than I do. I hope you can get the word out. Somebody will start doing something about it.
We're working on it. Thank you, John.
Okay, thank you.
You know, the man brings up a great point. The Diebold Company, guess who runs that? Mm-hmm. All right. Let's see. We got calls all over the place on here. We're going to go to Carl in Fort Myers. Hi, Carl.
Hi. How you doing, John?
Good.
Listen, I was calling. I was on the radio on my car a while ago, and the lady from Georgia called about the Cuban Missile Crisis. You know, if you remember her call.
Mm-hmm.
And it perked my interest because I was in the Army at that time at Fort Lee, Virginia. And I remember that distinctly when that crisis came up, and at Fort Lee at that time was a quartermaster post, and they brought in all of the, you know, National Guard and reserves and everything. And, I mean, we packed every building on that post to the brim. Anyway, a bunch of those soldiers came to Fort, you know, were shipped through Florida down here to Key West or somewhere, and they came back bragging about, you know, how they were treated, you know. They go in bars, they couldn't buy a drink, they couldn't buy anything in a restaurant, stuff like that, because if they were in uniform. But that was a scary time.
Yes, it was.
You know, and I often think now, what would have happened had George Bush been president, surrounded by the people he's surrounded with now? And I think we may have been in a nuclear war.
I doubt that, right.
You know, with his attitude, of his brashness and everything. But that was a very scary time, and you know that, and Adlai Stevenson, to show you what a man he was, he walked into he was in the United Nations at the time, and he an ambassador to the United Nations, I think, and
yeah.
he showed pictures to Khrushchev or to Khrushchev's representative from Russia, and said, "Are you going to lie about this? You know, here's the photos of your missile silos." So, you know, they brought us out of a real, probably a nuclear war. It was probably, like the lady said, we probably wouldn't be here, and Russia would be half annihilated, or all annihilated.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, but, you know, I often thank my stars that a man like George Bush wasn't in power then.
You're so right. We needed strong diplomacy. We needed firm diplomacy, and we needed people that were intelligent, and they worked through that beautifully. And I agree with you. I really agree with you, Carl. That'd be a terrible thought to think a man like George Bush would have tried to handle that situation.
Yeah, it was scary. And I'd like to make one other comment on that. This quote from Hardeen. I listen to Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh and all them all day long, you know. Sean Hannity, for one thing, is he misquotes everything. For instance, he said that John Dean said that Republicans had never worked a day in their life. That's not what he said, you know. He said some Republicans have never worked a day in their life. And he's talking about the people like Sean Hannity and, you know, people like that. But he misquotes people constantly.
Yes.
And even the major networks pick up the same thing that he didn't say, you know.
You're right. You're right. They've exacerbated the situation. I mean, Howard's been tough.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he tells it like he thinks it is. But
yeah.
I don't agree with some of the things he said, but the way he said them, I mean. But
he's Howard being Howard. And
that's what he is. And, it's just I get tired of hearing him misquote everything.
Oh, yeah.
It's just.
Well, nobody holds their feet to the fire, and you know, it's one of those things, Carl. If they tell 10 or 15 or 20 million listeners in a day something like that, at the end of the day, it's gospel to those people.
Yeah, and it's like like you said a while ago or some time ago, that it's surprising to me that 45% of the people in the United States think that Iraq attacked was involved in 9/11.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Some people think they actually attacked the Twin Towers.
Yes, that's right.
Because they've repeated this over and over and over and over, and and of course, most of them were Saudi Arabians. Anyway, thanks for listening to my.
Thank you for your call. It's good to hear from you, Carl.
Thank you.
I'm going to take one more call before we go to Republican Love. I know the orchestra's been practicing, and we'll get them warmed up in just a minute. Let's go to John in Cape Coral. Hi, John.
Well, good evening. And always a good show, and I'm looking forward to your Republican Love.
Well, I hear you're a little more famous than you used to be, John.
What gives you that idea?
Well, I don't know. I kind of heard you on the radio the other day.
Well, I was kind of in your, I guess, the same studio you were.
That's right.
And now I understand that show is going to go all conservative.
Well, such is life here in Fort Myers, Florida.
Mm-hmm. But I tried to hold my own that morning. I hope I did.
Yeah, I think you did a good job.
I appreciate that. I had a number of things. One, Howard Dean. Was he so far off target when he talked about the Republicans being a Christian party? And with the agenda that, Bush has given us?
Well, they claim to be a Christian party, and Howard just affirmed that for them. I mean, I don't see what they're crowing about over that. I don't understand.
I mean, he simply stated, I think, basically what I think a lot of people perceive to be true. And it's harsh words, but when you're pushing a religious agenda, it generally comes across that way. And certainly not a universal party.
Well, and he said a white Christian party. John, let me just interject one little thing here. You know the percentage of Republican office holders in all the state houses, and including our federal government, state houses across the country, the percentage of non-white office holders?
Oh, I would imagine it would be very small.
1%.
It would be very, very small.
The state of Texas, by the way, and there are 200 legislators there. You know how many? 47% of the people in Texas are non-white. 47%. Do you know how many non-white representatives they have in the Texas State House? Zero.
Well, whose interests are the Republicans looking for? I mean, that becomes the other issue on this. I don't think the African-American community, for example, perceives that the Republican administration is looking out for their interests. Sure, you have a few African-American conservative writers like Thomas Sowell, but the average person, I don't think, looks to Republicans for their leadership, which is the reason they're frozen out at the ballot box. You know, there was a reason for that, what happened in Ohio.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was one issue. There's a couple other issues which bother me. You talk about the radio situation. I heard something last night that curdled my brains a little bit. The Republicans are thinking a way of taking all funding away from PBS.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Now, PBS is not giving out necessarily the party line. Therefore, let's take the funding away from it.
Sure.
Another voice to be lost.
Yeah, and, picking on the cartoon characters and everybody on the Teletubbies and all that, picking on those poor little people.
Well, of course, and then we can have cartoons in the morning which have no violence, and Republicans are against violence.
That's right.
I mean, something is wrong there. Your Downing memo. Question on that. And I've asked this repeatedly, but I want to ask it again and again. If I'm out of line, stop me. But if the President of the United States, the Congress, had followed the Constitution of the United States, Article 1, Section 8, and said we cannot go to war unless Congress declares war, do you think we might have done something different?
Yeah. This is a, you know, this is something that I think Americans are going to rue the day that they allowed the White House to grab that kind of power of it back from the legislature. I think we will all rue the day that that happened, and I hope to God the next president that gets in office will relinquish that power back where it belongs.
Another question. We talk about the issue of Amnesty International, which the Republicans, by the way, are criticizing left and right.
Oh, yes.
A biased organization. Up to now, they've been very, you know, pro-American, but not anymore. They're a left-wing commie organization.
Yeah, the moment they said anything that Bush didn't like.
But again, if we follow the Constitution of the United States as we hold people, give them constitutional protection since they're under our aegis, which we have done in the past, you know, rights of habeas corpus, rights to due process, rights to an attorney, if all of this had taken place, do you think you'd have the outrage that's coming out now?
No, certainly not.
Is it conservative or liberal to ask that our Constitution be followed?
It's just American. That's all it is.
We go over this every week.
Yep.
But I still say, I don't know if I'm liberal or I'm conservative. I simply say, if this president, by the way, this is the same thing true with this religious agenda. If they would follow the Constitution and the dictates of the Constitution, which, by the way, doesn't mention God anywhere in the Constitution, we wouldn't have the problems we're facing today.
Well, they've run roughshod over the Constitution. I think it's a document that really doesn't matter to these people. You know, John, back during the Clinton impeachment, they kept talking about the rule of law. We know how many we had that stuff down our throats constantly every day. And they're willing to forget the rule of law and the Constitution and all now for their own benefit. That's just the way it is with them.
Well, if the Democratic leadership, by the way, a couple of them have been very good. I saw Joe Biden the other day really taking apart the Bolton nomination, and I was very impressed by him. I think he's somebody to look at very seriously in terms of future leadership. And I know the things he's done, which you're not approving of, but he speaks very, very well, and he did so at that occasion.
Oh, Joe's one of the best speakers in Washington, no doubt about that.
You know, we have to start looking, where's our leadership going to come from? But when we start looking at these, our leadership, they need to look, and I think if the Democratic leadership would simply go back and say, we want the Constitution enforced, I think they would capture a lot of the American people. I mean, what does conservative mean? Are we really conservative at this point? Conservative means conserving American values. What's more of an American value than the Constitution of the United States?
That's right. I agree, John. I thank you for your call.
And thank you for the time.
Good to hear from you. And good luck on your radio career. Yeah, John was here in the Wink WNOG studios the other morning on the morning show, and defending his honor as a person that's against all right wing all the time. And I thought he did a pretty good job at it. Just a little note here before we break at the bottom of the hour. I don't know whether I was dreaming this or what, but have you heard about this minivan situation in the government? Have the Pentagon and George Bush lost their minds? Or was the announcement that they're going to purchase 25,000 minivans for the military to be used in Iraq some sort of a practical joke? Were they somebody kidding me about this? Now, I'm not disparaging Chrysler minivans here because I've owned four of them, and I think they're great vehicles. They really are. I'd rather have a Dodge Viper, but I need a trailer hitch for my vehicle, and I've yet to see a Viper equipped with one. But, you know, can you imagine driving across an alligator alley here in South Florida and seeing a Dodge Viper pulling a trailer at 175 miles an hour? Oh, man, that's some mental image. Oh, anyway, everybody knows I want that Viper. But anyway, I got a minivan. Anyway, George the Incompetent. said that our military is going to buy 25,000 minivans for military use. And I can see a few problems with that. First, I'm pretty sure I could damage my minivan badly with a pellet gun, let alone an RPG or an assault rifle. And second, I don't think there's room to mount one of those 50 caliber machine guns on the top of my minivan. I don't think it would hold it. And third, I don't think the engine would pull the thing if it was equipped with armor and machine guns and bulletproof glass and had six soldiers inside with the air conditioner running, let alone the machine gun and necessary ammunition. And I can see some other problems with it. The sand over in the rock might be a problem with the minivan as well. I've not tried it. I'm thinking about it, but I haven't tried it. I don't think my Chrysler minivan would do too well even driving on our sandy beaches here in Southwest Florida. I really think it would bury itself in the sand in a heartbeat, and all that sand and dust couldn't possibly be good for the CD player either. So I really think that either George is terribly mixed up and doesn't really know what a minivan is, or this actually is a practical joke, but I think most of you will have to agree, to some extent, this entire Bush administration has been some kind of a perverted, sick, practical joke in a lot of ways, so nothing new there. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. We're going to have Republican Love right after we come back from the messages at the bottom of the hour. Catherine Harris going to run against Nelson, our Democratic Senator Nelson, and Catherine Harris, the former Secretary of State, Congressman Catherine Harris from up in the Tampa area, going to run against Nelson for the Senate. You talk about money, they will flood this state with money. They will buy that election for Catherine Harris. I think you can almost depend on that they will buy that election no matter what it costs. No matter what it costs, they'll pour the money into the state. You wait. This will be a big battleground in that senatorial election next year. That'll be the premier race in the country. The only part about it that just drives me crazy is, oh my God, I'm going to have to see one commercial after another with that woman on it on TV, and I don't think I can stand that. I really don't think I can handle that at all. She really does look like Tammy Baker. She really does. And I don't think she's done improved a bit since she went to Washington. But it just irritates me that this woman has been rewarded by the Republican Party in the manner she's been rewarded. And now she's going to run for the United States Senate. And I wouldn't doubt one bit that she wins it, because they will buy that for her. They will buy it. We saw her in Washington, and I tell you, not a pretty sight. I don't know her. I don't know her personally, but I hate the fact that she's using her influence that she had to get George Bush into the White House to get herself to the United States Senate. There's no other way to put it. I don't know. When it comes to having people like that, the United States Senator, it sickens me. It really does. Hey, we're going to stop for a break right now at the bottom of the hour. You're listening to the Guy James Show. And when we come back, we're going to have a few minutes of Republican Love for you. Stay tuned.
The Guy James Show.
Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. Wink WNOG.
Home ownership is a dream come true for most people. Finding someone you trust to help you with the right mortgage is extremely important. Amy Klausner of SunTrust Mortgage is always looking for ways to say yes to you. Amy has over 16 years mortgage and banking experience and is the number one loan officer for SunTrust Bank, the number one mortgage lender in Southwest Florida. Amy can provide loans from $50,000 to $5 million to help you make a home purchase, refinance your existing home, purchase a second home, investment properties, provide alternative credit, and more. Due to her local processing, underwriting, and closing departments being at a local level, Amy can offer quick one-hour approval loan applications and rapid closings. Call Amy at 239-403-2703 or toll-free at 1-866-763-0594, extension 2703. Or receive an online mortgage application by emailing her at amy.klausner@suntrust.com. Catering to your needs, Amy Klausner with SunTrust Mortgage, Amy always gets the job done.
When there's a hurricane, getting accurate information fast can mean the difference between life and death. Last year, Southwest Florida depended on the Wink News team for full, up-to-the-minute hurricane information from the first call.
Moving towards the Southwest Florida coastline.
Throughout the storm until the danger was past. This hurricane season, depend on the Wink News team to keep you on top of alerts, evacuation orders, and the information you need to protect your family. Trust Wink News. Southwest Florida's Hurricane Central.
Wake up to a new morning with Wink News. Patrick Gomer and Stacey Adams get you going with breaking news, weather, and exclusive Sky Eye traffic. Waking up is hard to do. Wink News makes it easier with your first forecast, your first look at the roads, and breaking news from around the corner and around the world. Wink News this morning, weekdays from 5 to 8, only on Wink News, Southwest Florida's news leader.
Meet Chris. He directs new technology training at Sound Advice. He's our go-to guy. Chris, why buy a high-def flat panel TV from Sound Advice?
Well, we really know high-def TV. Can you tell true high-definition TV when you see it? We can. See, there's enhanced definition TV, and then there's true high-def, which gives you almost 50% more detail. It's the real thing. Problem was the cost of true high-def. Until now. Enter the Panasonic 42-inch high-def plasma TV. Now, you can have true high-def for just a little more. And the Panasonic has a built-in high-def tuner that can receive high-definition programming right out of the box.
Now you know why he's our go-to guy. And that's not the only reason to come to Sound Advice this week. Now you can save up to $3,000 off select plasma, LCD, and widescreen TVs from Panasonic, Samsung, Sony, and Pioneer. No money down and no interest until September 2006. The newest TVs, the price break you've been waiting for, and the best trained people. Sound Advice, your home entertainment experts.
Like you, Sutherland Nissan, boiling mad at high truck prices. F-150 Silverado, $25,000 to $30,000, and that can make you mad. Your all-new Titanic, powerful V8 Titan King Cab XE at Sutherland, just $18,488. That'll make you glad.
Wait a minute. New V8 Titan King Cab XE, $18,488? Gotta be stripped.
No, it's equipped. Your big, bad, bodacious V8 4-door Titan King Cab. Stereo, CD, automatic, and air. Good truck stuff everywhere. Venice, I'm talking to you. That's more than fair. Smack dab in the middle of Fort Myers on US 41, south of Bell Tower Shops on Tamiami Trail.
All new Titan V8 King Cab, just $18,488. You can't be serious.
I'm dead serious. If you want a new truck, you're in luck. One of Florida's volume discount Nissan dealers, Sutherland. They turn mad to glad when $18,488 is all you pay today to drive your new Titan truck away. Yippee-yi-yo-ki-yay.
Vince, 520-497-519-889. Price after factory rebates and dealer discounts, plus government taxes, finance, stock, prep, and emission fees.
You've heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Say, I want to tell you, my Democratic friends on Democratic Underground hold my feet to the fire. They won't let me get away with anything. Let me correct something I said, or let me maybe not correct, but let me further explain when I was talking about office holders in the country. When I mentioned about Texas, I said they had 200 office holders, and none of them were minorities. What I meant to say, they have 200 Republican legislators in that state, and not a one of them is a minority. Somebody corrected me and said, gave me the name of a, and I thank you for that, Eleni. Brought up the fact that Senator Rodney Ellis of Texas is an African American, but he is a Democrat, and there are no Republicans. Just to make that clear, don't want to let anybody have the wrong idea. I think it's time for Republican love. We'll get the orchestra wound up a little bit. Get the conductor ready. You know, that relaxes me so much. Puts me in a mood, and we like to turn the lights down low here in the studio and get the proper atmosphere for this. Every week we get letters from our Republican friends, and I like to read them to you. I have to go through them and, have to toss some aside because they're just a little bit on the nasty side. But I'm going to read the nice ones I got this week to you, okay? And here we go for a few minutes of Republican love. And I quote, You are a liberal puke, left-wing leaning stinko pinko. Well, that's kind of a cute, that rhyme. My country is having problems because of people like you, and as far as I'm concerned, people like you need to stand downrange of my bullets, you traitor, seditious scumbag. Well, that's a beautiful sentiment there, I think. The next one says, you're a big, fat idiot. Well, I don't think I'm... I know I'm not fat. If you could see me now. Now go on with the letter. All liberals are the same. Get this now. They start off this letter saying, you are a big, fat idiot. And then the next sentence says, all liberals are the same. Name-calling, lying, cheating idiots. Just like your Nazi commie leader, Howard Dean. That Howard Dean went off and joined the Nazis and the commies and didn't let us know.
Whew.
I got to call Howard tomorrow. All right, the next letter. I am sick of your attacks against Rush. I assume he's talking about Rush Limbaugh, the drug junkie. The world's most famous drug junkie, I might add, and probably the richest drug junkie in the world as well. It goes on to say, and in capital letters, I don't know why this is, Rush is the source of true knowledge, not your liberal media controlled by the liberal puppets like you. I'm controlling the liberal media. Man, I wish I would have known that a few days ago. You people are just jealous of his fame and influence among the intelligent majority American people. That isn't very intelligent sentence. Among the intelligent majority American people. Oh, well. Sorry, man, but intelligence isn't something most of us would associate with your average Limbaugh listener. That's number one. And Rush is the source of true knowledge. More like Rush is the source of drug-crazed OxyContin pablum. Now, you know, I think he's still on the stuff. And if you accept what he says is, quote, as you said, true knowledge, you must have some of that OxyContin yourself. And by the way, I hope you got it legally. If you didn't, talk to Rush's lawyer. Next letter. You are just another God-hater who will wind up in hell like all liberals. The nicest thing about heaven will be that there will be no liberals there. We won't have to listen to them whining about all the degenerates and perverts of the universe are being mistreated by being allowed to experience the consequences of their evil behavior. We won't have to hear them plead for us to give up our hard-earned dollars to keep crackhead minorities and other degenerates in dope in the name of fairness and kindness. We won't have to listen to them try and teach that evil is good and good is evil, that obedience to... that just ended there, that obedience to... We won't have to listen to them dishonor the laws and the name of God who gives them every breath of life they take. We won't have to put up with Guy James, Jesse Jackson and his kind, Spix, any of the Kennedys, and the rest of the Nazi socialist scum that are the Democrats. And then... we go talk about the Bible here. Next to the end of the letter says, the Bible makes it very clear that only those who keep the law of God will be in heaven with him. What a relief that someday we won't have to hear these people anymore. Let God help you. Well, don't you think that's terrific how they can go off on crackhead minorities and everything and then start talking about the Bible? I don't know. I just think... let God help you before it's too late. Make peace with God and make sure the ones you love do also. The greatest pleasure I could ever have is to know that you accepted Christ before begging for your life from the raghead terrorists right before they chop off your ugly head. Accept him. Repent in Christ love, Dave. Can I read that one again? I really like that one. Biz, you mind if I read that one again? Let God help you before it's too late. Make peace with God and make sure the ones you love do also. Now, we're talking about God and real religion. The greatest pleasure I could ever have is to know that you accepted Christ before begging for your life from the raghead terrorist right before they chop off your ugly head. Accept him, repent in Christ's love, Dave. Boy. All right, one last letter. You, I guess they mean me, you are the worst human being alive. Oh, man. There's a lot of human. The worst. Me. Right here in Fort Myers. You're worse than Hitler, Mussolini, Stalin, Mao, Paul Pot. They spelled Paul, P-A-U-L. I didn't know his name was Paul Pot. And Clinton combined. And it says in parentheses, yes, I threw in Clinton because I thought the sound of you reading that perverted name would make you urinate all over yourself. Well, sorry, it didn't work. Your Antichrist ideas and horribly constructed theories are exactly what they are, horrible constructed and theories, instead of a penis. I like this part right here, but it's a little late, I think. You know, Cinco de Mayo is May the 5th. It says, instead of a piñata for Cinco de Mayo, I would like to fill you with horrible lying Democrats, because then I would beat you into a bloody pulp and stomp on them. Please leave my country immediately, you Marxist a-hole. I hope someone cuts your face off. We would like you to die soon. Well, there we have it. A few minutes of Republican love, and as you can tell, they do love me. You know, sometimes they always hurt. What's the old song? You always hurt the ones you love. And that's how I'm going to take those. I think there's really some love in there somewhere. If you read between the lines and look real hard, there's some love. The one saying, let God help you, and he's trying to help. Whew. Yes, sir. That came from my Republican friends. My Republican pals. Oh, yeah. Well, let's go to Jason in Cape Coral. Hi, Jason.
Hey, guy. Hey, guy, I wanted to touch on, as I'm listening to your Republican love letters, they're very funny, really. I was a corrections officer in the state facility for 2 years. I found out most people are stupid, not really mean. There are mean ones. Most of them are just stupid. But I wanted to ask you about a little misinformation. It seems like to me that these Republicans and whoever really think that if you're a Democrat or maybe independent or just you don't like George Bush, that they automatically think that you want terrorists to come into the United States. I think the reason I don't like George Bush is because he said he's for against the war on terror. Osama bin Laden. Here's one guy. We can't find him. We haven't done anything right. People are dying every day. The soldiers don't want to go over there. Recruitment is way down. It baffles me. And the only thing I can think is that these people would rather believe that George Bush is doing something right, because if they don't believe that, they're going to get afraid that they made the wrong decision. They're going to come to this realization that myself and maybe you and other people have, that we can do this, we can make things happen, we can make the right decisions, but George Bush is not doing it. He didn't do it then, he's not doing it now.
He's had ample opportunity. He's had almost 5 years now to show the nation that he is a leader and that he would make the right decisions, and I can't see where he has in very many cases, and so I think you're absolutely right, Jason. And it bothers me what you said, but I agree with you that there are a lot of stupid people in this country.
Well, I feel bad because of those letters you get. Those people, they're mad at you. That guy I called George Bush as dumb as a fence post before.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. He got all mad about that, which is fine. That's fine. His opinion, my opinion, America, beautiful thing. But they are so upset because they want to believe in this. They want to believe that we're doing the right thing. They want to. It's like having a bad girlfriend and your trust is gone. That's what it's like. That's what it's about.
Well, I agree, Jason. I do.
Thanks, guys.
And I thank you for your call. You never thought about that, but that's a good analogy. George Bush is like having a bad girlfriend. I like that one. I do. I really do. Hey, I think we've all had a bad girlfriend. Well, I'm talking to the guys. I think we've all had a bad girlfriend. And you girls now, to be fair, you've probably had a bad boyfriend or two as well. Some would say probably you've had more bad boyfriends than we've had bad girlfriends. You girls would probably say that. But, yeah, men are pigs. Okay, I admit it. You know, I do want to mention one thing. You know, we always talk about Jeff Mattson. And Jeff was our New York bureau on this program before his terrible, untimely passing just a few weeks ago. And they're having his sister Sarah sent this to me. And they're having a benefit, a memorial benefit. And in fact, let me just read this to you. I know a lot of you on Democratic Underground know who Jeff is. And she sent me this tribute to Jeff Mattson. This is an all-star memorial benefit. It will be presented on Saturday, June 18th at 7 p.m. at Don't Tell Mamas at 343 West 46th Street in New York, New York. Reservations highly recommended. If you'd like to get a reservation to this fabulous affair, I'd love to go to it. 212-757-0788. And if you need that number later on, email me at guyjames@theguyjamesshow.com, and I'll get any of this information to you. There's a suggested donation of $15, and Don't Tell Mama. And those of you that have been to the clubs in New York always know about that two-drink minimum. Don't Tell Mamas generously waived the two-drink minimum. The proceeds from the benefit will go to the National Necrotizing Fasciitis Foundation to help increase awareness of this devastating illness. Horrible. Educational material will be handed out free of charge at the memorial, and the tribute will include special appearances and messages from many from the entertainment and political scene whose lives were touched by Jeff, and he did touch so many. And as the title suggests, the memorial will be musical, featuring the original lyrics and specialty material Jeff wrote, primarily with his longtime songwriting partner, Brooks Cowan. Director Miles Phillips has assembled a stellar lineup and a few surprises to ensure that the proceedings will be, above all, entertaining and full of warm memories. The wonderful John Bowen from Jeff's Question W Review will serve as musical director of a cast that's scheduled to include Joan Crow, Annie Hughes, Rob Langender, Sue Matsuki, Carolyn Montgomery, Miles Phillips, Rod Pruitt, Michelle Russell, plus some other special guests. And here's the important part of this to all the people that knew Jeff. Music is healing. It is. And this is going to be a musical tribute to Jeff Mattson. Again, June 18th at 7 p.m. in New York City. If you need more information about this, do email me at guyjames@theguyjamesshow, and I'll be happy to pass on all the information we have. All right? Anyway, we talked earlier tonight about the press, and we had the revelation here recently about Mark Felt, and you all knew who Mark Felt was. He was Deep Throat after all these years at Secret. Where's the modern day Mark Felt? You know, where's the guy or gal right now who will expose this Bush administration for the political thugs they really are? You know, Mark Felt was a hero because he made it more difficult for our government to lie to us. You know, you can get guys like some of the cons that went to prison over Watergate. I can't even think of his name. G. Gordon Liddy and those people. You get to say what they want to about him. But he was a hero because he did make it difficult for our government to lie to us. You know, he caused the public to look at the government with a new kind of scrutiny, which for a while at least kept our leaders from lying to us about important matters. But sadly, sooner or later, that kind of scrutiny wears off and the public settles back into that mode of saying, oh, what can I do about it? They all do it. How many times have you heard that? They all do it. So what? By the time Reagan fostered the Iran-Contra affair, the public was fast asleep again. And the tragedy of that situation was that no one in the media nor the government had the guts to come forward and spill the beans and make Reagan and his henchmen pay a political price for it.
How many people even know what really went on in the Iran-Contra affair? I dare say 99% of the American public completely ignorant about what really happened. So then we had a new, a whole new era in Washington where the government could lie, cheat, and steal from the public, and the public would just sit back and take it and say, oh, well, what can we do about it? Well, we can do something about it, and we need to stay on the case. We need to demand that our elected officials seek truth and justice from this administration. We need to demand that we know the truth about Bush's desire to go to war no matter what, if we have to drag it out of him. We need to know just how premeditated this whole Iraq war scam actually was. I want to know all the details. We're entitled to know the details. But where is that man or woman who's willing to blow the lid off of these lies? Where's the one administration that'll come forth and tell the real story about what's going on within the Bush administration? Are there any Mark Felts out there right now? So far, it appears that the answer to that question is no, but we'll see. Maybe someone will summon the courage to come forth and expose these people to all of America. I keep hoping maybe someone will shine the bright light of truth on Bush and his minions. It's about time they do. Who will it be? Anybody in the media out there have the guts to do it? Do they? I hope somebody has the guts to do it. I really do. Because they do deserve it. I've seen so many people these past few weeks who were on the bandwagon for George W. Bush. And yes, we get a phone call or two here or there about people who still want to be in their camp. I think you'll notice tonight that we didn't have one call by anybody that was firmly in the George Bush camp. We had a couple people call and say, well, you know, but nobody that says, yes, sir, by God, I'm glad I'm for George Bush. I'm behind him all the way. And then back it up with some good, solid reasoning. That's pretty hard to do right now. And I think most intelligent people know that they cannot make a case for George W. Bush. Although 41% of the people still say they still back him, and I don't know where that figure comes from. It's really hard to understand. But I don't know how he could make a case for this president. Lord knows they've tried. But I just don't see a bunch of people standing up now with enthusiasm and backing this guy. I've even seen some of the right-wing talk show hosts kind of getting on his case a little bit like lately. Notice that Laura Ingraham was all over him the other day. Yeah. Notice that Michael Savage has completely jumped ship. Oh, Michael Savage, he beat the drum really hard for George W. Bush. Not anymore. He sees the handwriting on the wall. So, it's become a difficult situation for our Republican friends, and I understand that. I wouldn't like to be in that situation where I had backed a total loser, where I had put my hopes into his hands, my future into his hands, and knew that he was going to do a good job and then be so disappointed. It would be a sad, sad thing. Bill Clinton disappointed me, not in his governing. I think Bill Clinton was a fabulous president when it comes to his governing. He did a wonderful job. Not that he did everything right. I don't agree with everything Bill Clinton did, most certainly. Still don't like that NAFTA deal. But anyway, Bill Clinton was a disappointment in that he had a little bit of a morality problem. Did it affect his governing? I don't think so. I don't think it did. May have held him back from getting even greater things done in his second term. I don't know. But you know, they crucified the guy. They tried to kill him politically. Didn't get the job done. They knew the American public liked him, and so they couldn't go any farther with it, or they would have besmirched their own political careers. I think it was Trent Lott that finally came to his senses and said, hey, we better end this thing, or we're going to end up in the political toilet over it. But politicians do disappoint. And sooner or later, all politicians will disappoint you if you back them 100%. You can't be 100% for everything, any one politician. You know, that's why this partisanship bothers me so much. And it's why some of the other talk shows bother me so much, that they'll get on there. Sean Hannity, for example, most of the time will come hell or high water no matter what, he will back George W. Bush and his administration. No matter what, he'll never, ever, ever come down from that. And I don't know how you can do that, because no politician is right all the time. None of them are. You lose your credibility when you back them on everything that they do, because politicians, being what they are, they're going to disappoint you sometime. They're going to, shall we say, prevaricate a time or two to save their political skins. They're going to be wishy-washy. They're going to go with the flow. They're going to save their political necks no matter what. That's the name of the game in politics. But it makes it very difficult for me to understand how so many of my right-wing friends can listen to nonstop right-wing radio day after day after day and know in their hearts, they don't want to admit it, but they know in their hearts that the likes of Rush Limbaugh, especially the likes of Sean Hannity and Laura Ingraham, are preaching partisanship of the highest order, and not be willing to admit that their people are wrong sometimes. And that's just crazy. That is just crazy. No politician and no party is going to be right all of the time. I think that when something is wrong within your party, that you need to stand up and say so. You need to stand up and be a man about it and admit it, an adult. And that's what we do on this program. You have heard me take the Democrats to task many, many times on this program. When they're wrong, we will say they're wrong. They deserve to be called out, and we will always do that on this program. Speaking of this program, I do want you to be reminded one more time, this is a donor-supported program. We need your help, folks, and we need it now. We do. I want you to know that. We're in a serious situation with this program going forth, and we're appealing for your help. And you can go to our website, www.theguyjamesshow.com, and donate there. Or you can go to 12870 Tradeway 4, number 108, Bonita Springs, Florida, 34135. We need your help. If you enjoy this program, we hope you'll help us support it now and in the future. There may not be a long future if you don't help out, so please do if you can. Well, we've come to the point in the program where you've heard the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Join us next week.
The cooperative effort of a talented and dedicated staff. Executive producer Gene Charles. Research director Michael Merrick. Production manager Frank Princeton. Marketing director Lila St. John. We thank the staff for their continued dedication, and we thank you, the listeners, for your interest in our show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. This has been the Guy James Show. Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. Wing WNOG.
Fox News Radio, I'm Ken Duffy. Clues, but no clarity. A Reuben police denying reports that Natalie Holloway is dead and that her body was found. Justice Minister Rudy Cruz spoke to Fox News.
They just told me that they found some blood in the car, but still we don't know to whom.